Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 16th day of September, year 2018. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting for the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is QPOS and the Moab and the carpet bombs that will continue, arrest warrants coming, take a stand, and the Ark Project. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Kumru and Bith. We do accept callers, but we do ask that you remember to keep your responses, questions, or comments as short as possible so that others can participate. Also, especially on Sunday mornings, we often have families, so we will also ask that you kind of keep an eye on the language just a little bit. A little bit more today than, say, on the Wednesday call. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody is automatically muted as soon as they log into the show until such time as they send me a indication that they wish to speak, at which time I will unmute you at the appropriate time. Our website is www.pastordan.net. There is a schedule there for the radio shows, archives of past shows, information about health and news items, and also links to the various sites that have a lot of information on this message. We do know we have a lot of newcomers. The ins and outs of identity, etc. There's just so much of it out there. We don't spend a lot of time on that on the calls. We do apologize if that's what you're expecting. We try to stay more into the current events and how that applies to Bible believers and how we apply Yahweh's principles to what's going on today. One of the newest sites and newest ways that I have found is our good friend Pastor Lawrence Blanchard, who now lives up in the northwestern part of the United States. He has put together a 7-volume series on the identity message, basically, the history of the Israelite people. His website is yourbiblicalheritage.com. And again, that's yourbiblicalheritage.com. The 7 volumes, I'm into the 2nd volume, but he's done an excellent job of taking a lot of different resources. I know he puts a lot of endnotes in his text, and many of his sources I've read over the years, and so he has a kind of interesting way how he puts it all together in these series of books with lots of nice color diagrams and maps. And so it's kind of like taking tracing your ancestors and the great impersonation and many, many other works, Bertrand Comparé, E. Raymond Capt, Stephen Collins, all of them archaeologists and historians and biblical teachers. And he puts it all together in these 7 volumes to where you can't deny that the Anglo-Saxon and related peoples are the Israelites of old. And a lot of people say, well, what does it matter? Well, it's just like the argument about what difference does the shape of the earth matter. From day to day, maybe not as much as you would think. However, truth matters. And if truth doesn't matter, I guess then we're kind of wasting our time, aren't we? So the truth matters. If we are the Israel of the Bible, then that means that the people over in Palestine are imposters. Exactly as the book of Revelation at chapter 2, verse 9 says. And that makes a huge difference. When John Hagee and Joel Osteen and Kenneth Copeland and the rest of their ilk get up in front of a pulpit telling you that the Israelites are over in Palestine and that the Jews are God's chosen people and our Messiah was one of them, they're liars. And if you can't see the results of those lies as we look around the world, especially here in the United States and every other white nation that has allowed the Jew to come in, and see what these Jews have done to our society. You know, it's not a coincidence. Q is constantly saying, do you believe in coincidences? No, there are none. Do you think it's a coincidence that every organized crime family was headed up by a Jew, such as Al Capone, Mo Green, etc.? That every pornography business is headed up by Jews, that every smut magazine is produced by a Jew, that trafficking, sexual trafficking of children and adults worldwide is the leader in all that are Jews. When the Italians busted two large snuff film, and if you know snuff means that the participants, or at least one of the participants, is actually murdered in the pornographic film. That's why they're called snuff films. The two people that they arrested for the largest ring in Italy a few years back were Jews. And within 24 hours, they were threatened with their jobs, and they changed it to members of the Russian mafia. So this is the way the controlled media hides the identity of the perpetrators from you and I and from Christendom. So, again, two Jews in Italy responsible for the trafficking of snuff films, possibly producing them as well, all of them Jews. Who are the greatest spies in the United States, like the Pollards and the Rosenbergs? All Jews. And when I say greatest, I mean doing the most damage to our country. All Jews. Federal Reserve, always headed by what? A Jew. The United Nations Security Council, always headed by a communist Jew general. All these are coincidence, folks. That all of our electronic communications in our country is routed through the bastard nation of Itzalai and Operation Talpiot out of Israel, which is basically electronic spying through the back door on every single piece of communication coming into and out of the United States of America through Itzalai. And you think that's all by accident. You think Jews are so smart and so productive and so inventive that all these great things that they do, when actually they're the world's greatest spies. That's all. They're just the world's greatest spies. So they steal the intellectual property, such as Michael McKibben, who comes on American intelligence media frequently, talking about all of the social media that you see today. All of it is using the software and platform that he and his team put together and was stolen from them. So they're not making any money, while the Jews, who claim to be on top of these Facebook and Twitter and Google and all that, these Jews and other non-whites are getting fabulously wealthy on the invention of Mr. McKibben and his team, which I'll guarantee you was probably predominantly white. Predominantly male, just guessing there. So they invented this platform, and it was stolen from them by the Jews and given to Jews to run. Zuckerberg's an idiot, like most of these Jews. He's an idiot. Zuckerberg didn't do a damn thing except he accepted the position as the face on Facebook. And so the CIA paid him handsomely for that, but he didn't invent a damn thing. Typically of all these Jews, all right? They steal our property, they steal our intellectual property, and then claim it for themselves and get fabulously rich on it. And at the same time, spying on you and I and collecting our data. It's kind of interesting that way back in the 1990s, long before the internet was anything at all like it is today, I had a chance to work at a plant in the Midwest where I learned about the Jews. And we had a Jew in the office, and my buddy that was teaching me said, Dan, that guy over there, Terry, you know he's Jewish, right? And I said, well, wait a minute, how do you know that? And so he explained to me how he knew from the physical aspects. And he said, and I said to him, I said, well, how are we going to prove it? And he said, let's just go over and ask him. So we did. We sat down by his desk and just got into a conversation. And at one point, Larry just goes, Terry, by the way, are you Jewish? He looked at us and, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I am. So later on, we gathered our notes, and it was interesting that Terry would spend a lot of time in the office. He never went out in the field, of course, because it was hot and sweaty and dirty, and after all, he's Jewish. They don't do that. They sit at a desk in a nice air-conditioned office and tell white guys and white gals what to do. So we sat there taking note of his personality, let's say, his idiosyncrasies. And we noticed that Terry spent a lot of time trying to dig out information on people. He'd do it to me frequently. He'd want to know where I was born, where I was raised, how many were in my family, what kind of guns did I own, where did I keep them, what kind of ammunition did I buy. Things that you and I, it never even entered my mind to question even my closest friends in such a way. So we sat down thinking about that, and we said, yeah, that's typical Jew. They want to know the ins and outs. They want to figure out where your weaknesses are. They want to figure out where are you susceptible for blackmail or for intimidation or for bribery. Nothing new under the sun, as Solomon said, right? Interesting, very interesting. Now, one of the other things I want to bring up before we get into current events is the calendar. It's been brought to my attention by a dear brother that possibly Yahweh is withholding some blessings from Jacob Israel because we're not making at least an attempt to be in alignment with the days of the year and therefore the Sabbaths and feast days. And part of the problem I've had with that for many years is the fact that we're all over the charts with the calendars. I mean, literally. Brother Arybear put together a beautiful calendar. Jonathan David Brown, a good friend of mine who has passed now, a singer-songwriter, he did a book. He made he edited a book about the calendar. He was more in favor of the solar lunar. There's a website, Looney Solar Calendar Guide, which is with the worldslastchance.com ministry. They have a free app that you can download so that you can keep in right up with the calendar and the feast days, etc. So my point being, for years and years has been, if it mattered that we be exact, we'd all be dead, all right, quite frankly. Because we can't get in agreement on calendars at all. None of us. No group I've ever been with is in agreement on what calendar to go by. And again, some of the best researchers I've known have written books or put out papers on it, and none of them agree. And I just can't figure that out, why none of them can agree. So, talking to this brother, we have the Day of Atonement coming up. And interestingly enough, the Day of Atonement, according to the Looney Solar calendar, is the day before the testing of the emergency alert system in the United States, which will be on the 20th, which I believe is Thursday. So the 19th, coming up Wednesday, will be, according to their calendar anyway, the Day of Atonement. Now, Richard Ford and I had a long discussion about that. The Day of Atonement is the day of fasting, and it's particularly for the men of Israel, the men of Jacob Israel, meaning the white race. That is a day that we atone ourselves to our Heavenly Father. No work is done in that day. That is one of the few days. Now, Sabbath means a rest from what you do for a living, but you could still, like, put up a barn or help a buddy or something do put his porch up or whatever. But on the Day of Atonement, no work, literally no work is to be done. It is a day of dedication to the Father. We are to atone and get right with our Heavenly Father. So my question to the brethren is, if you can send me your correspondence as to whether or not you think that is something we should do. I agreed with Michael that it would be good to pick a calendar, okay, for our sake here, for the conference calls and the people in our circles. To me, Father honors those that are at least making an attempt, and what our attempt could be to use the lunisolar calendar because it's available. Michael has done a lot of research on their platform and what they base their calendar on, and finds it to be impeccable, and he is a phenomenal researcher. I've looked into it somewhat and find it to be acceptable. So again, I'd like your feedback. In the council of many, there's victory. So for you, the listeners, send me feedback if you feel led to do so on using this. And again, I pick it for two reasons. One, it seems to be fairly accurate. And number two is they are not asking for any money. You can donate to them if you wish. But they have a very nice little downloadable application that will put the calendar up on your screen, and you can pick a date. It'll tell you sunrise, sunset. It'll tell you what lunation or month we're in. Like now we're in the seventh month. According to the paperwork I have, that is Tishri, the seventh month. But they just call it the seventh lunation or the seventh month, as the Hebrews often just said. If you remember, they say the 15th day of the seventh month. They didn't always talk about the name of the month. It was the seventh month. And according to them, Adam has been on this earth for 6,005 years. That's when the calendar started, 6,005 years ago. So again, is it accurate? I don't know. I wasn't walking this earth 6,000 years ago. I wasn't there when Yahweh handed our ancestors the information to set up the calendar. So I can't say. All I can say is we should probably pick one, and as Michael says, do the best we can to follow it. And on their calendar, the Day of Atonement is the 10th day of the month, the seventh month, which falls on the 19th of September in the Gregorian calendar. And go with that. Make that our Day of Atonement. Now, it's coming up very quick on Wednesday, so I need feedback from everybody. Michael, myself, and some others will follow this day regardless, and treat it as the Day of Atonement. So again, I think it's important that these people have done a fantastic job of putting this little application together, and it puts this beautiful calendar up on your screen, and then it gives you a lot of choices on what you can do with it. And that makes it very easy for our people, no matter where they're at. If they have access to the internet and a computer anywhere, they can download this app and follow along. So that being said, also the Feast of Tabernacles, according to Lunisolar, is on the 24th. Of course, that is a high Sabbath, starting on the 24th of September. Let me see here. Yeah, and that is, of course, a Sabbath day as well. So let me know what you think. Probably wouldn't be a bad idea if we at least make an attempt. So let me stop here for just a second. I want to get this one area code set right here. And it's taking me just a minute here. So bear with me for just a second. So I like to get everybody logged on this thing properly so that there's no misconceptions. And We want to welcome whoever is in Rockford, Illinois, to the call. So we're all over, aren't we? Scattered. I get a lot of calls every week about that, the fact that the Israelites are scattered like salt, as Christ said we were. We're the salt of the earth and scattered. but it does tend to make us somewhat lonely and feeling very isolated. James 3, verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good conduct that his deeds are done in gentleness of wisdom. You know, we let a lot of things divide us in this day and age, and this verse is talking about the fact that, you know, many of our founding fathers talked of the principle that a wise man says much with few words. We also tend to take some abuse, verbal abuse, when it comes to differences of opinions. That's why the scripture says to forgive each other 70 times 7, which is a idiomatic expression meaning many, many times, and even take a slap to the face. Now, it's saying that figuratively. We're not supposed to walk up ever and slap a brother in the face, but even verbally or contextually or with a given topic, we should be able to take an offense to the face and turn the other cheek in order to keep fellowship within the brotherhood. That's what it's talking about. And my problem of late has been so many of our people, especially in this message, who do not exhibit this trait. And I have personally a hard time with that. We are commanded by Christ to be brothers. And for instance, my leaving of Eurofolk Radio was over this very issue. Censorship and disagreements on doctrine, okay? Well, I hope everybody understands that I present what I know. I don't claim to be Christ himself or Yahweh himself. I'm telling you what I know. And I'm open to anybody that can show me anything that would say that possibly I'm wrong. I got no problem with that. We can talk about any issue that's out there. But that's only if you understand I don't have to agree with you. All right? If you can handle that, or if you can handle the truth coming back at you, if you open up the door, if you bring up a subject, you better be ready for what comes back at you. Okay? It's as simple as that. So, again, any topic should be allowed to be discussed. We're family. We need to start acting like family. And we need to remember the proverb that says that there is victory in the council of many. That means the more people you bring into your circle for making decisions or making I guess doctrine, I'm looking for the right word, but coming up with our core beliefs is not an individual's right to set that. Again, line upon line, precept upon precept, you know, it's the glory of our Father to hide a matter, and it's the honor of us as kings and priests to discover it. Okay? It's our honor. You know, he doesn't have to make it plain. He wants us to learn to work together as a team and figure things out. So that's how I look at things, and I hope that everybody understands that. And that's why there are some very touchy subjects that we cover on this program often. If you have sensibilities to those sorts of things, I would suggest either that you change your channel or you learn to put your big girl and big boy pants on and be willing to discuss matters and leave your emotions out of it, because we don't really care about emotions. We want facts. We want the truth. This is what the whole test of being on earth is about. Are you a truth seeker? Do you love the truth? Because Yahweh is the truth, is he not? Didn't he say, I'm the truth, the way, and the life? Starts out with the truth. Then you have the way, and you obtain the life, eternal life. But you also obtain what? Peace, prosperity, and longevity in this life. All right? Yeah, we'll get to the other side eventually, but there's nothing wrong with wanting long life and enjoy the fruits of your labors in this world. Nothing wrong with that at all. So, truth comes first, and that's how we've gotten in the shape that we're in our white nations, especially here in the United States these days. We stopped caring about truth. If the truth was unpleasant, we didn't want to hear it. If the truth went against what the local preacher was saying, we didn't want to hear it. Or what the celebrities and sports figures on the boob tube, tell lie vision, was telling you, oh, you didn't want to hear it. Well, wait a minute. Jesus, Yahshua HaMashiach, was not a Jew. I don't want to hear that. Joe Epstein and Mo Green down at the seminary said that, oh, yeah, he was Jewish. Really? Okay. Christ himself condemned them as sons and daughters of the devil. So you're saying Christ was a devil when he said that the Pharisees and the Jews of that day were devils, liars, murderers, thieves. So you don't agree? See what I'm saying? So we will pick being in favor or going along with the flow mode versus the truth. And that's why we're in trouble today. So this Bill Holter, the economist, said that 2018 would be the year that truth matters. The Q posts that keep coming out seem to attest to that. We're on the verge of some very, very big things happening in that regard, I believe. And that's why I put out the warning that you should be mentally, physically, and spiritually prepared for what's going to happen in the very near future. This is going to be a big week, not only because of the Day of Atonement and the emergency broadcast system being tested, but also this could be the week when they declassify much of this material, and that will put some very big named individuals in the hot seat. And as we know, those of us that have been following the news of late know the Pope himself and the Catholic Church is in the hot seat right now. Big time. The world is waking up to the criminality within that organization. Ironically, many of us have been warning about the Catholic Church for decades. Decades. And now it's hit the mainstream, so praise Yahweh for that. We also pray that Ezekiel 25:14 and Obadiah chapter 1, there's only one chapter in Obadiah, so Obadiah verse 18 comes to pass very soon, because the world is in travail, and again, if you dig down the rabbit hole for virtually every criminal act that they're talking about, whether it's Monsanto and their Terminator seeds, their using of glyphosate in the food, and now we're finding out some of these poisons are in the vaccines, including mercury, whether you're talking about the poison behind the pulpit in the modern-day churches, and certainly the poison within organizations like the Roman Catholic Church. If you dig down deep enough, you always seem to find the same termites eating away at our infrastructure called Jews, Zionists, Talmud thumpers, whatever term you want to use for them. It's the same creatures that Christ condemned in John chapter 8. That's not by accident. As Q says, do you believe in coincidences? No. It's not a coincidence that we keep finding Jewish faces and Jewish names. For instance, here in the United States, you look at the key people that are being questioned as to their loyalty to this country and have committed acts of treason against it. And how many white Christian men do you see in that list? Almost none. Every one of them, primarily at the top of the list, of course, are Jewish men and women. Then you look at its minority men and women. There's almost zero white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, WASPs, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants amongst that group. That group that founded this country, that group that established our common law, that group that established the Constitution and Declaration of Independence, that group that formed the very heart of this nation that became the most powerful and influential nation and was taken over by Jewish intrigue, blackmail, and bribery. That's how they got in, because the founding fathers did not want the Jews ever to be allowed entrance into this country. They knew what these clowns were up to back in Europe. They saw what they did. They saw the innocent Christian men and women that were burned at the stake because of their being against the Catholic Church, which is, again, run by Jews. It's been run by Jews for centuries. Centuries. Certainly since the Jesuits came along, because it was a Jew that founded the Jesuits. All right, talk about satanic. So you read Fox's Book of Martyrs and the horrific things done to these men, women, and children simply because they spoke the truth about the scriptures and it went against what the Catholic Church was teaching. So the criminality and innocent blood on these people's hands could fill a valley up to a horse's bridle already. So everybody's looking forward to that in the future, when if you look to what's already happened and can be laid at the feet of these nefarious creatures, you've already got a valley full of blood up to a horse's bridle, folks. You already have a great or tremendous tribulation period. You already have hundreds of millions of souls that have been butchered in world wars and coups and communist takeovers, etc. Hundreds of millions, while the Jews running around with this fictitious 6 million, throwing it in people's faces because they want you to think of them as victims, when the greatest mass murderers ever to walk this earth are Jews. Even Paul Craig Roberts, I believe he was in the Reagan administration, recently wrote an article talking about the fact that this very thing, when you dig down and you realize that communism is Jewish, it was invented by Jews, it was paid for by Jews, it was orchestrated by Jews, it's always been run by Jews. And just that fact alone, let alone all the things that, with the Catholic Church and everything, just the fact that communism is a Jewish construct is responsible for more murders than any other warring nation. Even going back to Genghis Khan and Kublai Khan and Attila the Hun and all the rest of them that were supposedly, they were choir boys compared to what these Jews have done. And it's time the world wake up to that. Again, truth matters. It does not matter whether you like hearing it or not. Okay? That just doesn't matter. It really doesn't. That's your problem. You have to deal with it. Because the truth does matter. We read last week about Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, and this is the end of the matter. All has been heard. Again, what has been heard? All the debates about the duty of man. It says, fear or reverence Yahweh God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of Adam man. Adam, to show blood in the face, rough or ruddy, which is what the Hebrew word means, rough or ruddy. Interestingly enough, only one race on earth can blush. And we're talking pure races now. Half-breeds and mixed multitudes do not count. They are not supposed to exist, all right? If we obeyed Father's law, there would be no such thing as a mixed-breed individual. So don't hand me that you know a Chinaman that blushes that's 80% white, or you know a black, or no. You don't count mixed breeds. that's an abomination to the Father, and sorry, but it just doesn't count. So amongst the pure of our races, it is the white race that's rough and ruddy and shows blood in the face, which is another way of saying blushes. When we get angry and or we are embarrassed, blood in the face. Adam. So, again, some basic truths that the world needs to wake up to. And again, we did talk about the fact that this week is going to be big, folks. And we've talked about it from a biblical point of view. We've talked about it as far as a geopolitical point of view. Q has warned us, but so have other sources, all right? So for those of you that are on the fence with Q, we're not talking as if Q is 100% accurate, because there's a few things I've found that the Q post put up that I disagree with on a biblical basis, all right? So we're not telling you to throw out every other source or your Bible or the Holy Spirit. No, you take all these things in, just as Scripture says, and you keep that which is good, okay? So Q has told us, but there's other sources telling us as well, too. Many of the economists have told us that we are on the verge of a reset, an economic reset. Why? Because the Jewish Babylonian money system, based on money created out of thin air, is getting ready to go away. The world is waking up to the, quote, magic of these enchanters called Jews and their phony money system. They don't create anything. Jews create nothing except debt. Now, if you think that they're valuable to this world because of debt, I disagree with you. If you think they're somehow great money managers because they can push buttons on a computer and create billions of dollars, digital dollars, and you think that makes them great money managers, I disagree with you. If you think the running of the Federal Reserve has been for the good of this country all since its existence in 1913 and always run by Jews, and you think it's been a good thing, then I disagree with you. Again, Satan's kids don't bring anything but hate and discontent. They muck up everything they touch, and the world has woken up to this phony money system that they sit on top of, and with this phony money, they've corrupted this world tremendously. You know, you look at these Black Lives Matters and Antifa and all that, they're all paid actors. Do you know that? Everything you're watching on television or the electronic toilet is a stage production, folks, especially if it has anything to do with the left. It's all staged. These shootings are staged events. Sandy Hook and all the rest, they're staged events. 9/11 was a staged event, probably the biggest ever in history, but it was still staged. It wasn't an arbitrary act by a bunch of Arabs with box cutters. That I can't believe there's still people with an IQ above room temperature that believe that bullshit. And excuse my French. Come on, you got to wake up, people. Is it that you have nobody in your circle that has any experience in aviation? I've flown planes, small ones, of course. I've got friends with pilot's licenses. I've had friends or relatives that are aviators, pilots, whether in the military or commercially. Talk to them and ask them to be honest, not politically correct, but to be honest. Can you fly a plane the way those were flown into the buildings? The answer is no. Can the plane itself perform like that? The answer is no. Can a plane do the damage that was done that day? The answer is no. Probably one of the greatest questions is how do three buildings fall down on their own footprint by two planes? Now let me repeat, three buildings and two planes. They claim two planes. It's amazing to me what people with high IQs or relatively high IQs, how they can rationalize the BS story that the government gave. I mean, I've heard everything that, oh, it's the velocity of the plane into the building caused it to penetrate it. Anybody that knows anything about airplanes and airplane accidents can tell you, no. You can't. It may make you sleep better at night if you want to believe that, but that's not reality, all right? And as it's often said in the industry, as I've been told, every accident leaves plane parts, bodies and plane parts. Doesn't matter what kind of accident it is, all right? Doesn't matter whether it's a hillside or a crash landing, crash takeoff, into a building, you name it. There's always, always parts and people left. Okay? Always. 100% of the time. And yet at the Pentagon, zero. At the Twin Towers, zero. At Shanksville, Pennsylvania, zero. Now, if you choose to believe the government lie, again, that's your prerogative, but just know that you're being lied to. Okay? And our Heavenly Father does not condone that, by the way. He expects us to use the brains He gave us. And it's sad how few do. But that's what He expects. There's also a lot of information coming that warrants. Some of the indictments have been unsealed, and there are warrants for some major, major players being ready to be served, very served. Also, a lot of information is now coming out about John McCain was, in a way, executed. Exactly how he was executed, we don't know, whether it was here, take this pill, or you're going to stand against a military tribunal for treason. And all of your dirty deeds will come out. So if you take the pill, we'll let it go for a while, and you can have a nice funeral, and everybody can think you're a great hero. But those of us that know what a dirtbag you are, you're not going to keep going. So apparently that's what happened. Even the Q team put out information that John McCain's passing was not of his own accord, which is just another way of saying that he was either executed or given an option. But in the end, he was going to go away. It was not his decision on the timing or the circumstances. Okay? So, for those that don't think things are happening, yeah, there's a lot happening. Do we know the details? No, we don't know the details, unfortunately. I know we'd like to, and for those of us who have been awake for so long, this thing is taking forever. It seems like it's just taking forever to get rolling, because we've known about the treason. We know about the murders. We know about the cover-up. We know about the communist Jews that have infiltrated the country. We've known about this for a long time. Unfortunately, Father is in control, and Father determines the timing of these things. Because, whether we like to admit it or not, when you look in the mirror, you're looking at the greatest culprit. We the people, who have turned our back on the government, turned our back on our civic duties, and took up the pursuit of entertainment and the good times. I can't tell you how many people during my working career that when I brought up politics or any of the things that were going on, they just looked at me as like, why do I care? I got plans to go down to the beach this weekend, or I've got a tennis match to play. There's the latest movie going, Spielberg, Jew Spielberg. By the way, Spielberg will be on the list of perpetrators and perverts that comes out. So all you Spielberg fans, that dirtbag's going to be outed here shortly too. But the point of it is, we found every excuse under the sun to not get involved, not be educated, not many times not even going down to City Hall if it's just a small town of 5,000 people. Go down and sit in on the board meetings for the running of the town or the county. I can't tell you how many times me and a group of concerned people that I worked with went down to sit on some of these city council meetings and whatnot, and were amazed at what was being said and done. I remember I worked in Ohio at a plant where they invoked a 1.5% tax on every worker, and there at one point we had 8,000 people at the site. And the town that this plant was in was a very, very small town, and the power company had already provided them with free cable television because they claimed that the cooling towers were interfering with their signal. So the power company was providing free cable, and they repaved all the roads. And there were a couple other perks because of the bitching by the local people. So the mayor of this little town was approached by somebody from the state, from Columbus, Ohio, the state capital, and said, "Are you taxing these people?" And the mayor said, "No, we've pretty much got everything we need. Why would we tax them?" "Well, because you can, all the way up to 1.5%. So this mayor went through the motions of getting us taxed at the highest level, 1.5%, for his little town of probably less than 5,000 people. 1.5% of the salaries of 8,000 workers at that one plant. 8,000 workers working 7 days a week, 10 to 12 hours a day. Can you imagine the revenue? So we went to the town meeting where they were discussing what to do with this windfall that they were getting, this big paycheck coming from stripping 1.5%. You got to remember, the state was already taking money, and the feds were already taking money, and Social Security was already taking money. Now the little town with 5,000 people that didn't need anything but did it because somebody from the state said they could. And I listened to these people from the community talking about this, and it sounded to me and the men that were there with me, I said, "Does this remind you of what you could picture Blackbeard the pirate and his buccaneers sitting around after they had just raided a ship on the high seas? Does this remind you of that?" Because that's exactly what it sounded like. They were arguing about, "Well, we could put in a new ball field. We can put in a marina. We can put in this. We can put in that." Do they need those things? No, they didn't need those things. It was just, wow, everybody with their own little perk and their own little agenda was coming out of the woodwork. And the irony was that the park they wanted to build by Lake Erie was going to be for the townspeople only. So our money built it. But the only people that could go there free were the townspeople. If I wanted to go to the park, I had to pay, even though it was my tax money that built the park. You see the irony? Do you see the criminality when we, the people, turn our back on these creatures called politicians and government workers? Our founding father says that you chain them with the Constitution, and another founding father said that you never, ever turn your back on them. Eternal vigilance. Eternal vigilance. Now, I find it interesting that on the new $100 bill, which if you've not seen one, if you write to me by email at the website, PastorDan.net, I will send you a picture of one, but you could probably go down the bank and get one. It's interesting that the right half of the bill is all about gold. There's a gold quill, a gold inkwell, there's gold lettering from the Constitution, and it's interesting that the portion of the Constitution that's being printed on that $100 bill has to do with the abolishing, reform, alter, or abolishing of a government that no longer provides for our peace, safety, and happiness. Now, let's put a little feather in identity's cap, because we in identity have been talking about that very issue for many, many years. And we often quote, at least on this program, we often quote the wording from the Pennsylvania State Constitution, which you will find this similar wording, or you better find similar wording in every state constitution. All power is inherited in the people, and all free governments are founded on their authority and instituted for their peace, safety, and happiness, meaning you and me, we the people. For the advancement of these ends, they, the people, have at all times an inalienable and indefeasible right to alter, reform, or abolish their government in such manner as they may think proper. Again, that's the Pennsylvania State Constitution, Article 1, Section 2, Declaration of Rights. Now let's remember something. A right, by definition, cannot be legislated away. That's why every state constitution better have wording very similar to that, because it's a right. If that was ever taken out of a state constitution, you round up the people that did it and try them for treason. Because government workers are servants. That's why they're called public servants. The servant does not have the right to alter the contract between the master, which is we the people, and our servants. The servants don't have carte blanche to do whatever the hell they want. They have to operate under the original contract that gave them the opportunity to be a public servant. They don't have any right to add to or take away. It's a scriptural principle. As the Bible says, cursed be he who adds to or takes away from this law. It's the same exact way with our Constitution and our public servants. You don't have a right to add to or take away from the basic law. Never have, never will. So think about that one long and hard. We got a caller. Let me bring on Gary. Gary, welcome to the program, brother.
Yeah, Pastor. I was just listening to what you were saying about the Constitution, and we come to contemporary times. The Constitution, which was written for us, has now been turned around. It's the government that has all rights, and we have constitutional rights according to what's going on. You know, they'll say, I claim my Fourth Amendment right, or I claim my First Amendment right. Wait a minute, you have all rights. The Constitution was written for them, meaning to forbid them from doing certain things to us.
Right.
They've turned it around now, and they said they've made it so we're forbidden from doing things to them.
Right.
You know, and this is it was subtly done, and it's just absolutely amazing. You sit down and think about it a minute. You know, I hear these people going into court. Well, he's going to court because his Second Amendment rights were violated, or the TV has this kind of rights. See, television networks, they belong to the government because some are 501c3, and then some are other things, but they're a corporation by the government. So what happens now, a lot of people I don't think are seeing, is they have rights, all rights, and we have only constitutional rights against them. In other words, if I want to go against them, all of a sudden they have a Second Amendment right or a First Amendment right, to do what they're doing. No, they don't, because they don't have all rights. They only have constitutional rights, so there's certain things that are forbidden to them. And we have all rights, and we're saying you can't do that. But a lot of people don't know that, and they say, they bring up this thing where we have constitutional rights and they have all rights. This is it's really misconstrued what they have done.
Right, because we don't teach our children anymore civics. Yeah, my mom never finished her high school when she was a young lady. She married my father and went out on the farm and started having us children. And she never finished her high school diploma. But when I was a senior in high school, my mom went to adult education classes so that she could finish. And they had a civics book. And I remember reading in that civics book. So this was back in the late 1960s. And that civics book back then talked about a lot of these issues that we're talking about. Now, in my classes, not so much in high school. But in an adult education class where she had a civics textbook, that civics book, at least in the 1960s, did talk about a lot of these issues. So it's only been in the last 50 years or so that they have completely undermined the whole concept, and they have ceased to teach the children any of these principles and these truths. They basically use the public education system is an indoctrination system. It is not education. That, again, is another lie of the modern age. They call it the Department of Education, and their purpose is to see that the children receive a proper education. That's a lie. To receive a proper education, you have to teach people how to think, critically think, and how to analyze, and they need to know the truth. In public schools, that is not happening, not even close.
Well, what they do is they teach your children how to be part of the government in its program. You know, and you think, well, little Johnny's going to school and he's going to learn how to, you know, do arithmetic and spelling and read and those types of things. Shoot, these guys don't even know how to read. I belong to an organization that has a lot of books. Okay, and I told you what organization I was a long time ago, Pastor Dan. I shared that with you. And they're saying that these books, they're written in common language back when they were written in the 40s and the 50s. And now they want to come out with another one because they want to take it into the prisons because people in the prisons can't read. You know, they might read to, they said, a fifth grade level. You know, I'm going, what's going on here? First of all, Mexicans, certainly they can't read. We know that. They usually can't read. When I went to school, they were sort of stupid. They really were. They'd go to our classes and they just couldn't learn. You know, so they'd send them to a special school and you'd see them over there out playing soccer and baseball and things of that nature. And a lot of us would look over there and see that and say, "May I should act stupid so I can go do that." But this was the problem. So now a lot of them are in prison, and they want to have these group meetings, but they can't read the book. So they want to dummy the book down.
Yeah, I can add to that. My grandmother's house was sold back in the 1990s after she passed. And the lady that bought the house, we were having a discussion in the kitchen as she was, you know, there to see the house and walk around, and we were all talking, and I found out she was a professor at Penn State University. So I said, "Wow, whoa, that's pretty cool." Because where I grew up was only an hour south of the campus. So she was a professor of juvenile law at Penn State University. She said, and again, this is in the 1990s, she told us that 50% of the students coming to Penn State University to her lectures, 50% had to be sent back for remedial training in English before she would allow them to sit in her class because they were that poorly prepared for college. So again, that's 25 to 30 years ago, a professor from Penn State University in law, 50% had to have remedial English because they could not read properly, and they could not draft term papers and write significantly to even sit at her lectures and take notes and make reports. That's atrocious. And again, that's back in the 90s. So what is it today? We've reached the point of no return. If we don't turn this thing around, a lot of people say, Dan, I don't think it's going to happen. You know, it's just going to keep on going. No, here's the thing. It can't keep on going. We are at the point, if we don't turn this country around, it's over, folks.
Well, I know when I was in elementary school, we started learning English, and this is what happened to me, is I lost, because we had to travel around, my dad was in the Navy, what have you, I lost the part on what you have to do to break down a sentence, because they were teaching us how to break down a sentence. I don't think they do that anymore. But there's a whole bunch of things that they would teach us, you know, where the period goes, where the comma goes, you know, all these type of things, and an exclamation point, question mark, all these things. They were teaching us this in elementary school.
Right.
I don't think they do that. Well, what's it mean when you see a guy playing pro football and making millions of dollars and he can't write?
Well, sure.
He's been through college. Wait a minute. This guy's got a college degree in what? Stupid?
Yeah.
You know, why am I spending all my money just because this guy can run and jump and run down a football field? All this. Why am I paying all this money for his education? And then I've noticed, it was about 6 years ago, a football team here in San Diego had an all-pro defensive end. This guy had made two interceptions that day. He was good. He was white. What happened is after one game, his daughter was having something going on there, so he wanted to go to that because it's right there at the stadium. And then, so what they did after that, because he didn't listen to them and go to their training thing, they traded him. I said, I can't believe this. If that was a black individual, they would have never done that. They'd have bragged about how wonderful he is that he wants to go see his daughter's whatever it is. But they didn't do that to this guy. They traded him.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. Yeah. Of course.
Football is a joke.
Well, all professional sports is a joke. I also want to give a shout-out. I forgot to give a shout-out to the Bank versus You TV audience that's joining us today through Jimmy's website and TV stations there in Tampa. So welcome to all you folks. And, Jimmy, I'll bring you on here in just a minute. But we've got another caller, Gary, so I'm going to take him. I'm going to take Henry here and see what he has to say, all right?
I just wanted to say hi to Jimmy.
All right, buddy. Yahweh bless.
I'll listen.
Okay, Henry, you're on the air, buddy.
Hey, Dan, how you doing?
I'm hanging in there.
All right. I heard you talking about the planes going into the towers. It amazes me to this day how anybody can have a conversation about 9/11. And you made mention of it, but every time I see that second plane going into the second tower, like butter through night, like a knife through butter, it just amazes me how people can look at that and not understand that that wasn't what happened. It just blows me away. That's not
right.
Why I called to, but you did talk about that. That's the one image to me that I just can't. If I can't get past that, if I'm having a conversation with anybody about 9/11 and they can't look at that and just comprehend that that's not real, that that's not what happened. The plane just did not go into the tower like that. It's just. Anyway, I did have a question or two I wanted to bounce off you today.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I wanted to ask you if you saw the video of Lindsey Graham at McCain's funeral and John Kelly giving him the old I saw what you did with Huma. Did you see that?
No, I haven't. I didn't watch anything having to do with McCain's funeral.
Well, it was funny. It was, well, yeah, I did it reluctantly, but I just caught this the other day. I mean, I know the funeral was a couple of weeks ago or whatever, but somebody made a video of Graham was at the funeral, and Huma Abedin walks up to Lindsey Graham. They do like a little fake hug, like they're, you know, consoling each other. I don't know if anything was passed between the two of them or not, but while that's going on, within about 15 feet of that, Kelly and Mad Dog Mattis were in that vicinity, and they were both watching him like a hawk. And after McCain, I mean, after Graham and Abedin had that little hug, and she departed from him, Kelly eyeballed him like you would not believe, and he was staring him down, and you can see how uncomfortable Lindsey Graham was. He was just, he wouldn't even look back at Kelly, and when he glanced back at Kelly, Kelly put his finger to his eye and noted, "I saw that." And I just thought that was pretty fascinating. I don't know exactly what that means, but then I find it interesting that later on, of course, at the Kavanaugh hearings, I'm sure you saw Graham's questioning of Kavanaugh at those hearings, right?
Yes.
So I don't know if the two are related, and I don't know if Graham was trying to send a message to Congress about the upcoming tribunals. What's your take on that?
Well, I agree with what you're saying. Something, and many pundits have made this same observation, that something has happened to Lindsey Graham, because Lindsey Graham was a McCain protege, possibly even a paramour, but he certainly was in McCain's camp and very much anti-Trump administration, and now all of a sudden it's like he's done a 180 flip. And during the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings, he actually led Kavanaugh into a series of question answers dealing with military tribunals and constitutional rights, whether they extend to other countries for Americans, and such things, which was a complete shock to everybody on the right side of the issues. So, General Kelly may have signaled to Graham that you're on the list, pal, and if you don't want to end up like your buddy McCain, this is the time you need to make a decision which side you're going to be on, because you're going to be next.
Right.
So that would explain the flip-flop. Does that make him innocent of his wrongdoing? No. Should it play into possibly mitigating his sentence when it comes to his tribunal? Possibly. That'll be up to the judges. But, you know, did he do a flip? Yeah, there's no doubt about it. He did a flip. We can postulate as to why he flipped. This thing with Kelly may be part of it. But the fact that he has flipped, yeah. And the fact that Lisa Page has flipped on stroke, yep, that's happening. And several other key players have flipped and are now singing like birdies against some of these cabal members at the very top. So that's why I say this is going to be a big week. This week and possibly the following week, but definitely this week. We mentioned it in last Wednesday's program and last Sunday's program, for everybody to be on heightened alert, especially all you Minutemen and you Patriots. Because this thing could go either way. I mean, this isn't set in stone other than our Heavenly Father has the playbook. But I don't know about you, but he doesn't invite me in for a nightly head-to-head to go over the playbook. The playbook's in his possession. We have to try to discern what's going on based on what we've been told and what the Holy Spirit tells us. But, this is these are big events and big things are scheduled to happen, Henry.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I also have to agree with you that this absolutely could go either way. So for, you know, a lot of people who are, you know, following Q seem pretty sure that this is all going to turn out great for everybody, but I don't really see it that way. I absolutely am a believer in Trump now. I'm officially off the fence. I absolutely believe he's a white hat, and I know he's trying to do the right things, despite some of the kind of trivial things that he's done, like the little ceremonial missile attacks in Syria. Not, you know, the one in April and the one from the previous April. And some of his appointments make me sick, but I think those are more like token gestures for the Jews, just to kind of keep them at bay while he's trying to accomplish bigger and more important things. I absolutely believe that Trump is for us. That doesn't mean, however, that this is going to be a complete success and this is going to be a beautiful world after he gets all these people locked up and whatnot. I actually believe that... contrary to that, I believe he's going to start doing this stuff, and it's going to be exciting to watch. I don't know how far he's going to get with it, because I know the left is planning some treacherous reaction to this and things that are going to be possibly devastating to us. So that's why your constant calling of us to be prepared is so crucial, and I hope people are heeding your warning.
Right. And now, not only are we... as watchmen calling for that, but the president himself with his declaration of September being a national month of preparedness, that wasn't by accident, folks, because, and again, Henry, you're 100% right. This isn't set in stone. We're in a war, okay? Now, for those of us that study the prophets and Revelation and all that, this could very well be what's spoken of in Revelation. So if that is the case, we know the outcome. But on a secular level, this is warfare. And Q and the President Trump have said that. We're at war with the dark side. So in any war, there will be casualties. And in any war, a particular battle might go to one side or the other.
Yeah, I actually wanted to ask you about this before, you know, because we talk a lot about the Q phenomenon and the tribunals that apparently are going to be coming up real fast. And I wanted to ask you before about how you think this all meshes in and plays out as far as the scripture and as far as, you know, the end times, which we seem to be on the precipice of. And I think it's going to be the recipe that's going to kind of catapult us into this, maybe like the last war, because I just think it's going to cause all the satanic elements on the left to retaliate, and I just think massive chaos is going to result from this, and I think it's naive not to think that they won't retaliate. And I think eventually, and I think it's—I certainly think it's within our lifetime, and probably within maybe a year or so, maybe even months—that it's going to. This is just my personal belief, but I actually believe that all this stuff that's about to start happening is going to escalate, and I think it's going to bring upon the earth the return of Yeshua. And I think about the verse in Matthew 24 where he says, except those days be shortened, there'll be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And I think that verse kind of plays into what the result of all this chaos from the left and actually from Trump's initiating the tribunals and so forth and so on, and then the left's retaliation of that. I think it's going to get so chaotic, whether that involves nation against nation or just civil and strife, I don't really know, but I think it's going to be pretty disastrous. And I think that verse in Matthew, there's also corresponding verses in some of the other Gospels that talk about that. I think, in my opinion, that's what it's talking about, that we're on the precipice of that. And I think that's a glorious thing to behold. I just, I'm actually looking forward to it. I'm ready for the chaos, especially if it means he's going to return and fix everything. I mean, Trump can only do so much. Trump can put these evil bastards in jail, and he can hang a lot of them by the rope and everything. But I, you know, the evil in this world is beyond anything Trump can permanently fix. I think you and I both know that.
Well, that's why the Q posts constantly refer to "we the people have the power." This is all about the people. And
right.
Christ said the exact same thing. It's not the principalities that hold the power. They only have the power to deceive. Satan's kids only have the power to deceive. We empower them. Who pulls the trigger on the rifles that are killing the hundreds of millions of people? Typically, it's our people. Who
right.
are the police that are throwing innocent protesters in jail? Or like my buddy in Orlando last week when he tried to hold a 9/11 truth event that he's held for 12 years straight, and all of a sudden the Daytona Beach Police Department, some dyke from the department comes down with a 6'6" white guy beside her because she knows she doesn't have the muscle herself, and shuts it all down because they don't want 9/11 truth out, because that's what the Jews don't want, because there's a lot of Jewish influence in politics here in Florida, especially near the cities. So they go out there and they even stole their signs. All right? Well, that's the whole thing that the Q's trying to say. You know, Satan and Satan's kids can't win if we stop supporting them. Who pays for all these wars and all this idiocy? We do. Who joins the army to go fight in other lands? We do. Who buys the junk in the Jew stores? We do. Who allows them to build their mosques and their synagogues in our Christian lands? We do. And that's why
Absolutely.
Q's trying to say, we have it all, and we can fix all this if we just get off our ass and decide to fix it. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to awaken enough people that we have the power, we have the numbers, and we have the weapons.
Right. Hey, I live in the Northeast, so I know a little bit about Jewish influence, believe me.
I'm sure you do.
But I just think that Trump is being used by Yahweh, and it's waking up a lot of white people. And
yes, it is. It's waking up a lot of the other races as well. There's a movement. There's a movement amongst black people to come out of the left in the Democratic Party right now. A lot of them are waking up as well.
Yeah, and you see the typical left Jewish response to that. They're all falling apart. You hear about the movie that came out recently, Black KK Klansman? I don't think it did very well at the movies. That was all about comparing Trump to David Duke. Some of the bullshit that they're doing. What was the other thing? And you know the other thing I'm noticing now? Do you notice how many of the new Democrats who are running for office are black? Now, I know you're saying a lot of black people are waking up, but you see their tactic. They realize that by putting black people against their Republican counterparts in upcoming races, they're just playing. They know they're going to get, well, this kind of goes against what you just said, but at least in the past, historically, they get 95% of the black vote. So they're depending on these blocks of votes to get these people in. So consequently, more and more and more of the representatives are becoming black.
Well,
they're
outright communists, and a lot of them are CIA operatives, okay?
Oh,
the CIA is actually getting people, and other intelligence agencies getting some of their people to run. This is all part of the left trying to hang on. But here Henry, and we're going to bring Jimmy in on the conversation here in a second. But this is warfare, and Trump has already declared a state of national emergency. All right, that's been in effect for a year. Yep. The point of it is, under a state of national emergency, we can skip all of the standard election process. We can skip it. We can shut it down and postpone it. And we can go straight to a military, basically almost like a martial law situation, or a partial one anyway, and military tribunals, because the communists have infiltrated so much of the infrastructure and the media that it's virtually impossible to do it within the system. The system is broke, completely broke. And that's why I'll be surprised if we actually have midterm elections. I will be shocked if we actually have midterm elections.
I might not be shocked if we have the elections, but I won't be surprised if we don't. Absolutely, I agree 100%. That would be a good thing.
I think over the next month and a half, you're going to see things we've never seen in America. We've already seen things that we've never seen as Americans.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay? We've already seen that. Mr. Trump, first of all, doesn't fit the standard at all. The things he's doing doesn't fit the standard here at all. The fact that pedophiles are being rounded up, that he's talked about the unfair practices. I remember back in the 70s and 80s, bitching about some of the things Congress was doing to take jobs out of the United States. I was a union representative. I was a shop steward in the IBEW back in the 70s and 80s. So I know about unions, and I was very pro-union at the time, only from the local standpoint, not the international. The internationals are just as corrupt as every other large corporation. So the international for the union is useless. But at the local level, we tried to make life better and tried to represent people that were being abused by the management. So, you know, all this stuff is going on, and it's indicative of a war. We got a war going on. There's already things happening that have never happened before. A president has never come out and called the news fake. No president has ever done that. No president or candidate has ever admitted to the criminality that's going on. Or, like he said of Maxine Waters, low IQ. What person in politics would ever say that about a sitting congressperson, especially a black one? But it's true. She is low IQ. She's an idiot. She's a complete idiot.
God.
And how in the hell she ever got reelected out there, I'll never know. I personally, they're not. As long as we've had computers, we haven't had real elections.
California is a wasteland. And you know what? He's not only waking up this country, he's waking up all of Europe. He's waking up the world, white people anyway. And like you say, black people are aware of what's going on too.
But the world, you know, the black preacher in Harlem, James David Manning, has a PhD, so he's not a dummy. He said it over a year ago that this country will die if the white race does not rise up and take it back.
Yeah.
And he's telling his congregation and he's telling his radio audience this. And I've heard it from other blacks as well since then. So in the black community, we're not being told about it, but in the black community, there are many of the people that can still think.
I was going to say, only those that can think. Now, not a high percentage of them can think, let's be honest.
Well, no, the percentage, really, I don't know, but the point of it is, even in our society, I know a lot of white people that are idiots, okay? I know a lot of white people that are white trash, all right? They don't affect much change. They don't affect world that much. They're just
about 10,
rocks.
Yeah.
Okay?
About 10% of the population affects change. You're right.
So even in the black community, many of the blacks that can't figure this stuff out are going to trust people like James David Manning because he is smarter, he is wiser, and he has made a good point. And they're going to sit around and go, you know, Brother Manning, that's pretty bold what he's saying, but, you know, really as I think about it, white people did found this country. White people did invent 99% of the inventions that make civilization what it is. And white people did found the country and establish its law and order. And you know what? As white people have been driven out of the process, we've become communist.
Yep, exactly.
So what's the corollary of that? If white people founded it and it became a great nation, and as white people have been disenfranchised, it's gone to hell, a thinking person's going to say, maybe we should let the white people take back control.
Yeah, and how did we become disenfranchised? By infiltration by the Jews.
That's right. Infiltration by wolves in sheep's clothing.
Unbelievable.
And how did the sheep become to where they couldn't recognize the wolves? That's the fault of the pastors and the mainstream churches.
I like to blame the media for being the ultimate reason for our naivete and our blindness to what's going on. But you know, I have to say that the Judeo-Christian evangelical pastors, especially, you know, forget the Catholic Church, they're wasteland. But the evangelical pastors, you know, even before I understood identity, and this is a recent revelation to me in the last couple of years. I didn't know anything about it 2 years ago. But I was at least smart enough to know that for the last 20 years, that these pastors in these Judeo-Christian evangelical churches are not worth anything. They spout lies after lies. They preach these canned sermons week after week. They never talk about pertinent issues. They never talk about what's really important. All they do is copy each other and preach the Judeo-Christian message. And I always understood, even before I understood identity and what it was about, that this conflict, this oxymoron, Judeo-Christianity, how can you read the New Testament and the gospel accounts of what they did to Jesus Christ or Yeshua and not see that as a complete conflict of interest? And yet, week after week, line up in the pews, put your money in the plate, and hear your stupid messages, and every fourth Sunday, preach about tithing. Give me a break. Just give me a effing break.
Yeah, and there was a couple calls. Jimmy, we'll get to you in just a second, brother. Just hang tight. But,
hey, no worries. No worries, Dan. Good morning.
Good morning, brother. The thing of tithing, I got a message from some of my listeners about what their preachers were telling them, and how even in identity there's some of these characters trying to intimidate the followers to throw money in the plate, a certain percentage of their wages and all that. Let me explain something to you folks.
Yeah.
The tithe was a 10%, up to 10%, of an increase, because an increase was considered a blessing from Father Yahweh.
Your wages, they leave that out, don't they?
they leave that out. They leave that out. Your wages, folks, let me tell you something. Your house, your wages, etc., are an exchange for your labor. That is not an increase. Your weekly salary is not an increase. It's a salary you're paid for your hours that you donated. That is not an increase. Here's what's an increase. You went down and your grandfather died and left you $150,000.
There you go.
Okay, now you didn't do a damn thing to earn that $150,000. That was a blessing or an increase.
Right.
So what Father's Law says is you should really think hard about taking up to 10% of that money and using it for the kingdom. It doesn't mean giving it to a preacher. Using it for the kingdom. It might mean start your own radio show. It might mean divvying it up to four or five teachers that you know. It might mean going to Larry Blanchard's website, yourbiblicalheritage.com, and buying enough books to educate 100 or 200 people. Whatever promotes truth in our people and our kingdom is Father's work, and that's what the tithe is used for. This idea that you're supposed to support my ministry with that, no, that's not what it's for. You can give a free gift offering, and I have a handful, and I mean literally just a handful of listeners who feel that way. Okay? But the tithe has nothing to do with that. Supporting the preacher or supporting a ministry is a free will gift offering just to, to help out.
Yeah,
you're not forced to do it.
Right. And another thing, you know, so often I recall, this is long ago, because I haven't stepped foot in a church in so many years, I can't even remember. But I remember long ago, you know, they do that, they do the general offering, give you 10% of your wages, and I think probably every second or third Sunday, they'd have a second offering, and this one would be for the missionaries who were down in Africa preaching the Gospels to people who have they shouldn't even be doing it in the first place. And these people are not listening to the Gospel. They're getting free stuff. They're going down there, and the only reason that they're showing up in Africa to these missionaries is because they're getting food and water and whatever. They're not, it's just, oh my God, it's just so, what a waste of time going to these. We got poor people on the streets of our own country are going to Africa preaching the Gospel to people who are not even capable of comprehending it. But that's a secondary offering every second or third Sunday as well. Give me a break. People are living week to week and one paycheck away from losing their homes, and we're going to get 10% of our income. Yeah.
That's why I say, you know, and I've told people that have contacted me, I said, look, don't take food out of your family's mouth to support me. You know, free gift, free will offerings are certainly welcome and much appreciated, but you don't harm yourself or your family to try to help me. This work is between me and the Father. I'd be doing this whether I had anybody helping me or not. So that's regardless of that issue.
Especially when you're listening to this garbage spewing out of their mouths week after week. And if you go long enough, you learn that it's the same six or seven sermons over and over again. And they have nothing, they never have anything to do with the corruption and evil that's going in our midst and around us. It's always some silly, stupid sermon about nothing that's of import. Especially in the days that we live in, why do these people sit in these pews? You know what I think? I think most of them go there, and they think Yahweh's taking attendance, and if he sees that I'm sitting in the pew this week, I'm going to go to heaven when he calls my name.
Right.
And the other half of them are going there to listen to the wonderful praise and worship music, these idiotic songs. They're like trances, the same three or four words over and over and over again. Get them in that mood to give. Oh, it makes me sick.
Look at the modern-day preachers as if they are what the Bible describes as Baal priests. And if you read the book about Baal priests, a lot of times they end up getting taken down by the creek and executed. The prophet, I can't remember if it was Elijah or not, but one of the prophets took them down by Kishon Brook and executed 400 of them in one afternoon. Because the Baal priest's job is to keep the status quo. That's the job of a Baal priest, is to keep the people in power. To tell the sheep, don't get involved. And what is the Christian church today doing? You don't want to get involved in politics. It's dirty. Don't worry about it. The Lord chooses the administrators. And Romans 13 says to give authority or give your allegiance to the government.
Romans 13. Oh, they love that one.
But they don't read the whole chapter.
Yeah, I know.
It says very clearly that you give your allegiance to godly government, not ungodly government.
That's not the way they preach it, though.
They
render unto Caesar. Just submit your authority to those in power. Yeah, submit your authority to evil people like Clintons and Bushes. Give me a freaking break.
Yep. I want to give. I know Jimmy's been sitting there and waiting patiently like a good soldier. Jimmy, welcome to the program, buddy. What are your thoughts?
Well, good morning, Dan, and to all our brothers and sisters that are within the sound of your kind gift of time in hosting these calls. Truly is a honor to be part of your group. And I just looked up tithe, and there are some truths in here, but 90% of it at the top, if I may, the term tithe, the noun, one-tenth of annual produce or earnings, formerly taken as a tax for the support of the church and clergy. Now, that's the noun. The verb is pay or give as tithe, and the quote is, he tithes 10% of his income to the church. And boy, do I hear Henry loud and clear. I dated a gal back about maybe 15 years ago, and she liked to go to church and was very involved in this church. And, you know, I ran network cable for them, and they have a school, and I set up their phone system, you know. But Henry's right. I mean, I participated, and I tithed the materials and my time. And as we all do, Dan, what you do with your calls is a gift back to the people, back to our Father. But I'm with Henry. I mean, I wired the sound system in this church, and it was the same silly songs, and it's more of a feel good. And 90% of the asking to give every dime you had to the church was that you will be blessed and you will go to heaven. And then the senior pastor is now very elderly, and the son took it over, and he really was a money hungry. And, you know, 3 weeks later, the guy shows up with a 200 or F-250, you know, almost $100,000 truck. So you see, it's disappointing.
It's hypocrisy. Yeah, it's hypocrisy. You know, it's interesting because the devil is always in the details. Now, in that definition that you read, it used the word income. It's the same word used by the IRS in the income tax law, which, by the way, is unconstitutional as it is applied today to you and I as citizens. The income definition in 1913, just like the income in biblical times, is an increase. It is not your wages. That's why in the text itself it says a tax upon your income from whatever source derived. Your wages are a source for you to invest to earn an income.
Yep.
Your wages themselves are not income. So the devil is in the details. So even in that cryptic definition you've got, they're hoping you don't get a dictionary and don't look into it to understand that income was an increase. In 1913, it was an increase based upon biblical law. An increase, not your wages.
And
we've been buffaloed and stolen from ever since. Yeah, go ahead.
And who are the masters of deception when it comes to language and words and multiple definitions of words? Jews and lawyers and, oh, my God, just, I want to puke.
Well, don't do that. But, Dan, I did want to say, and this is this is all a sign pointing to this week ahead. You know, you and I have chatted on air and off air, and I've chatted with a few of your listeners on air and off air. And I woke up this morning with this peaceful, easy feeling, and I think that comes from, and I just got the Jesus bumps, the goosebumps when I said that, but it's almost like Henry said, I am looking forward to getting it on the road and the years of preparing others and preparing myself. I woke up this morning with, like I said, just this peaceful, easy feeling, which is my sign that I'm ready and that my people, my sheep, which I'm someone else's sheep. We all have keepers. We all have guardian angels. But I agree, we all need to be very vigilant in the coming days and weeks and even months. And you and I have talked over the course of time. I've been on the fence of, are we going to see evidence of the big coming before the elections, during, or after? And I tend to agree with your thoughts this morning, Dan. I don't think we're going to get there without something huge happening. And I think that one sign is this ridiculous 60 buildings. They can't get their numbers straight. That, you know, were affected by this gas issue up there in Massachusetts. You know, I'm not a gas engineer, but I'm an electrical engineer, and gas and water and electronics are physically hand in hand. And as you and I discussed, there are check valves in water systems. Diodes are check valves in a certain light in electronics. And I do know about gas systems enough to know that there are blowback valves, regulator valves. And for this to breach that many buildings, it just doesn't happen. Doesn't set well with my
It doesn't happen. These are all staged events. Okay, anybody with any kind of technical background that's done any kind of plumbing, piping. I've piped gas systems in the powerhouse. We worked on everything that had any kind of control function, and pressure relief is a control function. So we had everything from electronic transmitters that would send a signal if pressure got too high to open up a valve and relieve the pressure, to mechanical safety valves that worked simply from physics, that if your pressure within the tank or the line gets over a certain amount, there's a spring-loaded relief valve that just works against that spring and lets off that excess pressure to protect the vessels and protect the piping. So
it's the same as our automotive cooling system. There's a spring loaded in the radiator cap.
Yeah,
and so if the pressure gets to a certain point, to save the radiator from exploding, it's going to mechanically, through the pressure of the steam, open that valve, which is why, you know, in the old days, you'd open the hood on a hot car and you see steam coming out. That's coming through the, and the same is true with every water heater out there. There's a pressure relief valve on the top that is the identical mechanical diaphragm spring that will keep the water heater from exploding in the event of pressure buildup.
Exactly.
So, and I don't mean to hold Professor Jim class this morning, but you just will never ever convince me that many failures occurred in the system. And real quick to follow up, I asked you this off air, that what would be, let's say you and I are the bad guys, which we know we're not, but why would we sit down and engineer such a quote unquote false flag? What is the purpose? And it's kind of a rhetorical, and that I know, or I assume I know, but is that a way to clear that area out and for some reason a land grab, or to just let the people know that we're in charge? There's something going on with that, and is that the pre-explosion, no pun intended, to what we need to be watchful for in the coming days, weeks, and even months, in your opinion?
Well, I'll digress to what the cue boards were, the cue posts were telling us in the past week or two. They said because of this week coming up and what's going to be released, watch the lapdogs of the left, the mainstream media, and the bad actors. They are going to pull out the stops to try to discredit the Trump administration, discredit Q, discredit the Patriots, and cause fear and division amongst the populace. and to take attention away from what the Trump administration is trying to do. So I put it in that category. Now, could there be a secondary purpose in that area for land grabbing it? Certainly could be. Just like Silverstein volunteered the Twin Towers because he was the owner and they needed to be completely revamped to come up to the code, and it would have cost $6 or $7 billion to take a building of that size and get all the asbestos out of it and all the bad wiring and everything else. And so he volunteered his two buildings for the orchestrated 9/11 event, and that was part of it. So a lot of times there's a multifaceted aspect to these false flag events, and that certainly could be here. But the main thing people need to understand is these are orchestrated events. These are the show. That's why Q says enjoy the show. There's a show by the good guys, and there's a show by the bad guys. But all of this is a show. Even the good guys, some of the stuff they're doing has a purpose behind it. It's part of the show. It's part of what they call the visuals. And for the good guys, the visuals are to expose the bad people and to get the sleeping American off their ass and have them get involved and start thinking again. And to me, that's a good thing. I don't see deception in that. I see that as just a coy way of gently nudging the average slothful American into reacting and getting involved. So,
well, let's flip that over 180 degrees. Could it be, and again, you know how my mind works, I'm trying to flip it over 180 degrees and see if there's any logic. Could it be that the actual good guys did this in that area to send a message to not mess with us? You see what I mean? And being Massachusetts, being the old, you know, that's supposed to be some of the origins of our country.
Go ahead, Henry. What'd you say?
Yeah, what do you think, Henry?
I think what, I forgot your name.
Jimmy.
Most people call me Jimmy. Go ahead, Henry.
I think what you're saying is Massachusetts is a very left-leaning area, and this could be the good guys sending a message to, we can do stuff to you guys as well. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly what I'm trying to put this on paper and say, okay, why would the bad guys do this? But then again, let's flip it over 180 degrees and say, well, why would the good guys do this? I think that does
warrant
some conversation.
In today's world, everything is so, it's hard to follow. It really is. It's nothing is easy to follow anymore. It's just...
Well, here's the thing I want the listeners to understand. Whoever did it and their purpose, that's going to come out eventually. In the meantime, don't let it distract you from the things you should be watching and preparing for. It's a diversion.
Right.
No matter who did it, it's a diversion, and you need to focus on your families, your locale, and the things going in your location. Now, I want to bring up a couple things here, guys. One, we're into the season of the Feast of Tabernacles. And again, it varies greatly depending on what calendar you go by. I mean, it's all over the place. But we know it's over the next month to month and a half. So we're into the Feast of Tabernacles, which the imposter Israelites, who are the Jews, they have their Day of Atonement and their praying of the Kol Nidre prayer coming up on Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. Okay, they're going to pray the Kol Nidre. So I want all of the listeners to pay attention to the cars at the local synagogue. Maybe what patriots should do is start taking pictures of license plates in the synagogue on Yom Kippur and find out which Jews have committed treason by praying the Kol Nidre, which says that they have a right to lie under oath. Okay? That's significant. That means that every judge, every lawyer, every witness on the witness stand, every government official of Jewish persuasion who's prayed the Kol Nidre has, in their religion, prayed the prayer that allows them to lie under oath. That's tantamount to blasphemy in God's law. It's tantamount to treason in our own courts of law. Now,
which parallels Sharia in a way, Dan, just real quick interruption. Sharia basically says the same thing. If I'm honoring Allah, Akbar, or whoever the hell that person is, it's okay to lie.
Well, who invented Mohammedism? The Catholic Church.
There's been
several excellent instructors and researchers put together videos, the whole history of Mohammedism and its tie to the Catholic Church, which means the Jews. So here again, the nefarious culprits that Christ identified as the takers of innocent blood, all innocent blood was laid at the feet of the Jew in the book of John. So, again, nothing new under the sun. We should not be surprised. This is getting down very simply to goats versus sheep, wheat versus tares, the children of light versus children of darkness. That's where we're at, folks. Now, one other thing I would like everybody to consider, and this is how I'm going to look at it, and everybody has a right to do whatever they want. But because of the fact that we're being inundated with information and we have no way to verify it, I have a very simple rule that I'm going to apply from this point on. If any group of people come to my house to take away my weapons, you're my enemy. I don't give a damn if you've got a UN uniform, a local police department uniform, a U.S. military uniform, a Russian uniform, a Chinese uniform. I don't care. If you're there to disarm me, you are the Antichrist and will be dealt with accordingly. That's the way every patriot should look at this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, in this day of saturated information overload and psyops, it's so hard for the average person, and I consider, we're not average people, but, in a way we are, but it's so hard to know, to discern sometimes, and it's so hard to know who's telling the truth. I look back to the 1930s when Hitler took over Germany, And I watched some of those speeches, and everything, there was no psyop. Everything was right. It was just laid out. These guys are the bad guys. These guys need to go, and that's that. It was black and white. I wish it was like that, but it's not. So we just have to do our due diligence. And that, like you just said, when it comes to issues like something like you were just talking about, common sense has to prevail.
Yeah, exactly. To me, it's common sense. There is, and again, I'm going back to the founding fathers. Jonathan Locke was considered one of the greatest philosophers of his day. And Jonathan Locke said, and Locke is L-O-C-K-E, that's how he spelled it. Jonathan Locke said, any man who is trying to disarm you is your mortal enemy. So I digress to a founding father and philosopher, Jonathan Locke, and his attitude was shared by my founding fathers, whether we're talking in the Christian church or the country called the United States of America. I digress to those individuals when I said what I said. Any man or group of men trying to disarm you are your mortal enemies. It doesn't matter what piece of paper they're carrying. It doesn't matter what uniform they have or no uniform. If they're trying to take your means of self-defense away, they are your enemy. It's as simple as that, period. There is no justification for disarming the American people, ever, under any circumstance.
No argument here.
There. You've got it simple. There's
me
no,
three.
There's no
me
agenda.
Three.
There's no phoniness to it. It's in your face. Any effort made by any group to disarm you has to be treated as an enemy combatant to do harm to you and your family. Case closed. No discussion, no argument. The Founding Fathers said it. Our legal documents support it, and history has proven it. If you're a white man or woman and there's a group trying to disarm you, you had better resist up to and including death, period. Because
indeed,
they'll kill you. They're going to kill you anyway. They're going to kill you anyway. So why not fight?
Go out with dignity.
Go out with dignity. Let me read what was sent to me by one of the listeners a while back, because now at this point it's perfect what it was said. I got to find it here.
While you're doing that, Dan, Henry, may I ask, and I'm not looking for an exact GPS location, but you mentioned that you were up in the northeast. Are you near the Massachusetts area? And
I'm within about a 45-minute drive to the Massachusetts line. I'm in eastern Connecticut.
Okay. I found it odd, but then again, I don't find it odd. But I just see that's where they got us guessing, because just to get that broadside with this gas event, it's kind of off the beaten path of California, New York, D.C. And the reason I'm kind of stuck on that is that the next move by whomever is going to be, I think, going to take us by huge surprise, whether it be Tampa, Miami, Bug Tussle, Iowa. All due respect to our Iowan listeners and brothers and sisters in Iowa. So I just, with that, I'm really paralleling what Dan said. We have got to keep our eyes open, keep our surroundings within our 360-degree peripheral vision, be aware of your surroundings when you're out and about, because, again, I have no crystal ball, but my spidey sense, as we teasingly call it, is even though I'm under peaceful, easy feeling this morning, something is going on.
Amen. I found that what I was wanting to say, and I'll give credit to Barry and his lovely wife out there in South Dakota that sent this to me. It's a quote from the movie Man in the Iron Mask that was produced in 1998. I'd rather die covered in blood than an old man laying in his own piss. And I changed it to, I'd rather die covered in the blood of my enemies than an old man laying in his own piss. And to follow that up, disobedience to tyrants is obedience to Yahweh God. So there again, and all through the history of the white race, whether we were called Scythians, Parthians, Vikings, Gauls, Celts, you name it, we always had a tradition that to die with honor was the goal of every man. Every warrior man amongst our people was that he could ask for no greater death than to die in an honorable fight defending those that he loved and what he believed in. That's been a tradition of our people. Now, it's being bred out of us thanks to the Jewish influence, because they are basically communists, Satanists, and feminists. All right, they're trying to breed that out of us. They killed off a vast amount of our best warriors between the Civil War and all the wars since. Many, many hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of the best of our race died in these absolutely phony, fake wars. But there's still a remnant left, and the men need to remember that. Look to your ancestors. Our ancestors considered it not glorious to live a long life, not to go to your grave saying, well, I made it 98 years. What did you do in that 98 years? Not a hell of a lot, but I made it. Okay? They looked at it the other way around. It would be better to go down in a blaze of glory at 28 or 30 fighting for a cause that I believe in than it is to live a long life as a coward and somebody who never accomplished a damn thing. And we have to relearn that because it's not been bred. We've been effeminized with the raising of our boys by women in too many cases. The adult male, especially if he's a Christian and a believer and a warrior, the courts under Jewish control, of course, will do all that they can to get the child to be in the care of the mother. Because they know by and far the mothers will push the feminist agenda and the Jewish agenda. But our men need to learn this important principle. It isn't how long we live that gauges the success of our life. It's what we thought was worthy of dying for. Even the scripture backs that up. Even the scripture backs up the fact that he who would give his life for a friend, all right, what does the scripture say about that? It doesn't condemn them. Look at Christ himself. He died at the age of 33 and a half years old. That's young. But are you telling me Christ did it for a bad reason? Do you think he should have tried to go for 98 instead, laying in a pool of his own piss and people having to feed him and carrying him around? Or do you die as a warrior in what you believe in? And that's why I'm saying we're going to have to learn how to be warriors whether we like it or not, because if this thing goes 180 out from where I'm hoping it's going and they come to take your weapons, it's all over, folks. So you might as well learn how to fight now. You might as well be prepared to make that move. Because look at the history of communism. They don't treat the people they conquer very well. So if you want to be the coward, you're going to live to see your wife and your daughters raped and murdered in front of you. And then you'll be tortured to death afterwards, just like they did the Ukrainians and the Russians during the Russian Revolution, just like they did to the communists by even a greater number. All right? That's what they do. And that's what you want to live to see? I don't think so. I think it would be better to go down in a blaze of glory and take some of them with me. And
well,
if
hey,
we
Dan,
do that collectively,
that,
they will lose.
To that point, you sent me a very interesting email this morning regarding the Tampa police touring. And the Holocaust Museum is over, you know, in my, where I was born and raised, about 30 miles from here in St. Petersburg, Florida. And for them to tour that as training, you want to expound on that, not to shift you down into third gear, but I just found that very interesting, and I plastered it all over Twitter, which is the only social media that I do kind of keep an eye on. And by the way, I was in Twitter jail for a week until last night, and I walked carefully, but I tempted them to put me in jail again. And real quick to that end, I'm not a big Twitter fan or Facebook. I left Facebook and all that, but it's like watching CNN occasionally. I like to see what my enemy's up to. But I will say this, the general pulse on Twitter right now is leaning towards folks like us. And if they shut down everybody that follows me and I follow them, it's going to be, you know, there's probably 1,000 people right now that were silent, and they're coming out with, you know, all this, not only Maxine Waters, but who's the old crusty one there that tried to set up Kavanaugh on some eighth grade, you know, will you be
Feinstein.
My girlfriend letter? Feinstein. Well, another nice Jewish name, huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, another Jew hag in the Congress. And from the great state of fruits and nuts, California. So,
Fruit Loops, that's right. But what was your initial thought on that, on the Tampa police? And it was under the guise of training. It wasn't that they were going over to this Holocaust Museum to pay their respects or say, my goodness, that's horrible, we need to make sure this never happens again. Because, Dan, you're right. People need to get out of their sleep, their normalcy bias and perceived trust that it will never happen here. It's happened here before. Look at what the Japanese, what was it, World War One or Two, where they rounded up all the Japanese. And, of course, the Holocaust. These people are playing very, very, very serious right now, my friends. But Dan, real quick, what was your initial thought on that article regarding Tampa police? And it wasn't, again, I'm going to repeat myself, they didn't go over there to go, wow. It specifically said they went over there for training. Well, training in what? To do what you're saying? To come get my guns? Or collect me up?
Yeah, exactly. Training the police to think like Israelis. Look at how the Israelis operate over in their litter box called Palestine, or It's a Lie. They shoot down 9-year-old Palestinian children that are doing nothing more than walking by or maybe have a stick or a stone. These, quote, men, that's using the term loosely, these individuals, gun them down. And I got that from military men who were stationed over there. They saw this happen. In fact, one of my friends stood in front of the Israeli soldier and said, "You will not shoot that boy unless you shoot me first to stop it." So we have real men still in this world. But here's what they're trying to do, and this is, again, showing the Jewish influence and the stupidity of our people. Number one, the police chief in Tampa is a frickin' female. Well, there's your first big glaring mistake. You don't put a female as chief of police because they think with their emotions.
That's right.
That's your number one problem, and that's why the women have been empowered in this world, because the Jews know they can get them to follow idiotic things like this. And it's trying to get the police to think like the Israelis, that they're gods. They can do anything they want. Okay? That's why they're doing this crap, to reinforce that the Jew is a victim and you're there to protect the Jew. That's what they're trying to get them to think. You're there to protect us Jews because they know their days are short. The world is waking up to the Jews. That's why you see these hags like Feinstein and Boxer and the rest of them, and Schumer and Maxine Waters, all these hags coming out demanding gun control because they know the day of the rope is around the corner. Too many people are waking up. Too many people aren't buying the bullshit anymore. They're not watching the mainstream media. They're not listening to these political hacks, and it's not working, and so they're desperate. And so now they go to weak-willed people like a female police chief and go, "Well, you know, we really think it'd be a good idea down here at the Southern Poverty Law Center or the ADL that you support us Jews in Florida because, after all, we Jews put a lot of money in the police departments and in the Fraternal Order of Police. You know, we Jews put a lot of money and all this stuff, so you really ought to, you know, suck up to us and take your police officers down there and make sure they understand your job is to protect." No, not everybody. They didn't have them go to a church, did they, for training? Did they go to a church for training? No, they went to a Holocaust museum. So what does that tell you? They want the police brainwashed that their job is to stop us patriots when the day of the knife comes. And it's time for these Jews to be dealt with as the traitors that they are. That's what that's for.
The brainwashing isn't working much anymore. You know that new film that came out recently, another Nazi film? I can't think of the name of it. I heard that the number of people attending those theaters was so small, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So it's wearing off. Overkill.
It is wearing off. Yeah. When the Pope went to Ireland, now Ireland, traditionally Catholic, the Pope went to Ireland, almost nobody showed up. They showed pictures on the internet of the attendance, and there was almost nobody there. There were more protesters there than there were people in attendance for the service. And the protesters were carrying signs that the Pope is a mass murderer and part of a worldwide child trafficking ring. The world is waking up. Even Q's talking about that, the fact that this is not just the United States. The world is watching. The people of the world have been wondering for a long time, what the hell is wrong with the American people, especially the white American people?
They made the biggest miscalculation they ever made was the Internet.
I don't think they had a choice in that. I think our father was behind that the whole way.
I agree, Dan, 100%. And Henry, I fully agree that the Internet is without the internet, we could not have saved the Bundys. We could not be having these type of meetings. And at the end of the day, there. And see, the way I understand it is the internet was initially developed in the collegiate world, and a couple of mad scientists like myself back in the day, you know, decided that we could send digital packets, and then we could assign an IP internet protocol address to workstations. And wow, and wow, and wow, and I'll tell you a real funny story real quick. Back in, I'm going to say 1985, I was heavily embedded in telecom design back then, and I had a big old house, and I had a roommate that worked at Pactel Paging. I let him come in and have a room there, and I looked at him, and I said, you know what? I said, this internet thing isn't going anywhere. Well, boy, was I wrong. You know, I just didn't, but I just have to wonder where that premonition came from, because maybe it's that it's going to be so big, and Dan and Henry and other listeners, they are chomping at the bit, as you all, everyone listening to my voice right now knows, they are looking for a way to shut us up on said internet, and they are not being as successful as, and see, again, that gives me solace that the people do have the gajones on being Sunday. I'll use the word gajones, to stand up, like Dan's saying. No, I don't care if you come to my house in a UN uniform, a sheriff's uniform, a city kitty uniform, and ask me any stupid questions about my weapons or anything, frankly, anything. You know, I'm going to give you the ultimatum to get the hell out of here, or I'm going to stand my ground on my land, and I'm going to have my weapon on my hip, which is always on my hip. It's become my armrest on my right side these days. But, yeah, I mean, I've had it with this, and the thing is, we're not violent men or women. We're not. It's just you're not going to push me around anymore, period. And with that, gentlemen, I yield.
Yep, absolutely. Well, again, it's the predictive programming that's going on to get us to accept what they're coming down here for. And, you know, this is the big battle, guys. This is the war between the children of light and the children of darkness. We're at the end of the age, all right? And people think that that's being, I'm trying to come off as a prophet. I'm just simply stating facts, folks. I'm a pragmatist. Take a look around you. If these people are not stopped, what do you think's next? You already see Satanism being pushed with predictive programming in the media. You already see the idea of cannibalism is being pushed. Just go to the YouTube channel, A Call for an Uprising. He's got hundreds of videos he's put together showing Hollywood and celebrities and all promoting witchcraft, Satanism, cannibalism. They're pushing the fact that drinking of young people's blood is okay because it helps keep old people younger. I mean, they're pushing every form of degeneracy you can imagine. Well, when they push it, they're going to take you, if you have the value system that says it's not right, they're going to put you either in a mental institution where you're lobotomized or kept drugged up, or they'll just simply take you out and execute you. That's what happens. So this predictive programming says that we're at the end of the age. You either stand right now and you take the Satanists and put them in the dirt where they belong, or you're giving them license to take you and your children and either turn you into Satanists or put you in the dirt. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm all in favor of the bad guys getting put in the dirt. All right?
I
don't know.
That.
Maybe I'm old-fashioned. Maybe I'm a bit prejudiced. But I kind of like the idea of putting bad guys in the dirt, like General George S. Patton said, rather than putting good people in the dirt. We got enough good people in the dirt. Vince Foster in the dirt. Victor Thorne in the dirt. That FBI agent and his wife recently were killed, were taken out. The witness in New Jersey, her and her husband were murdered by the Mossad, and then their house was blown up. And again, what did they say did it? Oh, it was a gas explosion. No, it wasn't. It was a bomb. The Mossad went in and murdered both of them so she couldn't testify against Hillary, and then they blew the house up and told their lapdogs in the media to give the cover story that it was a gas explosion. Give me a break.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
gas
no
seems
end
to be
to
the
this
new
stuff.
The new weapon. Yeah,
that's
gas
right.
explosion.
So we have
right.
enough of our people have already been sacrificed. I think it's time to see bad people put in the dirt, like John McCain. I say hallelujah. Hallelujah. And here's the other thing about the Internet. When I say Father was behind it, I'm saying Father turned it around. It was developed by DARPA. And why did they develop it? Because they cared about us and us communicating? That was not it at all. It had to do with making money and tracking you. That's why the military
yes.
and DARPA funded it. It was a way to get you to volunteer information about yourself, and they were going to collect it and figure out who to round up the day the communists were going to pull the plug on Christian America. That was their plan. And what does Father say about the Antichrist plans? He's going to turn it around and put it on their heads only double. And what has happened? You have lived to see prophecy fulfilled. The Internet was designed by Jews and Jewish lapdogs in DARPA and other military agencies and intelligence agencies as a way to spy on the American people and to categorize them as good or bad. And Father has turned it around now that there are good guys using that very same system to do what? To out the bad actors. The Peter Strokes, the Comeys, the Clappers, the Brennans, the Clintons, Uba Abedin, and the rest of the Muslim Brotherhood, which are all satanic and probably Mossad agents. You got to remember, a lot of the Mossad people are Arab, okay? Arab Jews. So they can get Mossad to go out like they did the USS Cole. They get Mossad to go out there and blow a hole in the side of a United States vessel, just like they did with the USS Liberty. And then they'll say it was Middle Easterners that did it. Well, that's because they got Middle Easterners that work for the Mossad. Come on, people, wake up. It's a cause and effect. And as any good investigator will tell you, when there's a crime, the very first thing you look for, who benefits? Who benefited from the Twin Towers and Building 7 coming down on 9/11? The
true
Jews,
motive, Dan. The true
Jews.
Motive, yes, sir.
The Jews were hiding $3 trillion worth of money. Now, get a load of this. $3 trillion missing from the military budget. Now, excuse me, but how do you misplace $3 trillion? You don't misplace it. The day before 9/11, that was announced by, I forget who the defense secretary at the time was, Zakheim or some other Jew. It's always a Jew. So the point being, there's a reason behind all this, and a lot of this stuff is Father just taking what they had planned to do to you and I and turning around on their heads double. And again, if this isn't prophecy coming to fulfillment, then somebody needs to explain to me how this is not the end of the age. How is this not possible? Because that's exactly what we're seeing unfolded. The whole Q thing is nothing more than somebody trying to wake up people around the world, not just here in the United States, to the fact that we've got Luciferians running around. Communist,
Amen.
Luciferian,
Amen.
Zionist Jews running around decimating not only America, but all these other countries. Look at the poor people of Haiti and what's been done to them by the Clinton Foundation and these Jews. And what happened to all the children in Haiti that disappeared? Okay, the highest price goes to white children, but that doesn't mean they don't sacrifice children of color. They sure as hell do. And that's why Q said a few weeks ago, when the truth comes out, it won't be safe for these people to walk down the street. Hallelujah. I can't wait till good people get off their ass and grab their shotguns, grab their pitchforks, and grab their rope, and we start going to town and gather up all of these people and start hanging them from trees. Hallelujah. Well,
I hope we still have electricity and television, and I hope those tribe units will televise, because I'm going to get out the popcorn and have some fun.
Well, they better be. They better be televised. They better be in the open, and when they're executed, it better be public as well. Everything that they do should be transparent, because it's our enemy that does everything, quote, in secrecy, because it's national security. I got news for you. There ain't nothing you do that's worth keeping secret. I don't care what it is. Why do you think the rest of the world doesn't trust us?
You know how CNN could resurrect themselves in their New York second, guys and gals? If they would turn over 180 degrees, one of my favorite phrases, and cover exactly what Dan just suggested. If they did that, I think that they would extremely restore their credibility. And you and I both know that's probably never going to happen.
Not going to happen. You know why, Jimmy? Because 95% of the top people at CNN are of one persuasion.
Yes.
Yeah, they're all Jews.
Exactly.
Yeah, the top three
Anderson,
layers of
Cooper,
management.
And, yes. Yes,
at CNN and virtually every network. It's not just CNN, but virtually every network are Jews. That's why they're liars. That's why they're profligate liars. And they can lie with a straight face, because that's what they are. They're speaking their own language.
Yeah, real quick, Dan, and everyone listening, have you seen the recent – there's two good videos out there of CNN staging, and what they have is there one reporter out there – and, yeah, the wind is high, but he's making it look like he can barely stand up. And in the background, there's five or six other people walking normally, and they're less than 50 feet from this guy. And then there's another one where they actually put the reporter and his microphone cable and some of the production staff in the water. Dan, if you haven't seen it, I'll email you once you close your show. It is, and see, again, I was like you. I'm like, this is so, I mean, if it wasn't so serious, it is hilarious. I mean, it's something you might see on it's a dog and pony show. Anyway, yeah, I just wanted to call that to your attention, too. And I just sit here, and I think, who in the hell are these people trying to fool, which is who we're trying to wake up, or those that are awake. I don't mean to insult you, but folks, wake up, smell the coffee. And I have to say again, Dan, I don't know why, but I woke up with this peaceful, easy feeling, and I think the signal from our Father Yahweh is, Jim, you've done your chore, you're prepared, and tomorrow I lose my Ustream channel. Just to put that out there, and I will have our own servers up and running, and I'll send links to the new show. But it's after almost 5 years of broadcasting Bank versus You TV on the Ustream network, they are not just closing me down, but they're closing down a series of news channels, and that is just one more red light beacon as to what's coming up. So today will be my last day on Ustream, and I made an appeal. I've been emailing back and forth with Ustream today, and they made it quite clear that it's not me or my message, but management made the decision. Now, if I pay almost $1,000 a month additional, then they'll let me stay online. And I'm thinking, you know what, screw that.
Right.
So I am building my Linux servers up. I will be testing tomorrow, so anyone that does, it's sad. It really hits home. But just bear with me for the next couple of days. We will be back online. And my goal is to make sure that we're back online before the 20th. And, Dan, thanks for that little shameless message there, but I will not cower. I will not give up until it's over.
That's right. This is a war, and everybody should understand that. Even the Q folks have told people, don't ever forget that there have already been casualties paid. We've lost good people. There's been a few of the enemy go down, like McCain, but by far, the good guys have lost far more people in this war. This is serious business, folks. This isn't a game. These Satanists mean to take this country over, and after this country, the rest of the world. They want to impose a Luciferian society because that is their utopia. That is their heaven. They don't have a heaven to go to. They don't have a hereafter to go to. They have to make this as much a hell as they can because this is all they've got. Their father, the devil, and these sons of Satan, this is all they've got. And so they're trying to get you to turn your back on what they're doing as they turn it into a hell on earth. Well, Adam was put here to maintain the status quo. He was to keep the paradise. That's why Christ said, occupy till I return. That's a military term. Occupying means to hold your ground. And we have not been doing it. Thanks to these lying prostitute preachers and these prostitute organizations like the Roman Catholic Church that have done the work of Lucifer and their kids, and they have led the sheep literally to the slaughter. Hundreds of millions of innocent men, women, and children, predominantly white and Christian, murdered, slaughtered, raped, tortured, sold into slavery by these Luciferian creatures. It's time they pay the price.
Dan,
had
the wicked witch Hillary won the election in 16, this would have been, we'd be way worse off than we are, obviously. But it would have been a more gradual takeover. But now that Trump is fighting the enemy, they know their days are numbered, and that's why the escalation is going to happen fast. That's what I believe.
Well, Henry, that's the very concerning fact, which I 100% agree with you. We have the rats cornered. And you know what happens when you corner a snake.
Yeah.
Right.
That's exactly
well, that's why on. That's why we have to be on alert, and that's why my alert is at high alert. I'm what is that, DEFCON? What's the DEFCON rating?
DEFCON 1. I believe it graduates down. DEFCON 1 is the highest concern, and DEFCON 5 is the, you know, we're always on defense. But 5, unless I've got it backwards, and I'm pretty sure I'm correct, 5 is, you know, we're still keeping an eye on things. But when it goes to 1, we're in some serious trouble. And I will go verify that before we end your show. But I'm pretty sure 5 is green and 1 is flashing red. Grab your ankles and kiss your heiress goodbye.
Okay, I just looked it up. It goes from 1 down to 5, 5 being blue and 2 being red, 1 being hot, white hot. So it goes the other way. 5 is where we're normally at, and when they get up to 2 and 1, it's serious.
But that's what I was saying. 5 is okay based upon the scale, and 1 is bend over and get on your knees and pray. That's what I was saying. I believe I said it that way, yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, I wasn't paying attention then. I was looking at this thing. But anyway, you're right. 5 is normal peacetime readiness, and it goes up from there. And 1, of course, is, shit's you got to get ugly here real quick. So we should all be, this week coming up, my recommendation is we should all be at DEFCON 2 at the very minimum. Some of us will be at DEFCON 1 because there's going to be a move made. Trust me on that, folks. There's going to be a move made this week. Now, I'm not going to tell you that it's good guys, bad guys, what the outcome. No, I don't have the playbook. Father does. All I'm telling you is there is going to be some major movement this week. Okay? You don't have to wait till midterms. You don't have to wait till January when the tribunal revisions take effect. That could all be just a diversion to take your attention away from the here and now. This week and next, You better
well, Dan,
be prepared.
Some of the indicators I'm watching are, of course, the markets, which we all know is fake bullshit anyway. But I recommend one of my best indicators, and again, it's all rigged, but because as you well know, the derivative market is another contributing factor to the whole house of cards coming down. But I urge folks to watch the price and fluctuation of gold, silver, and platinum. Okay, the markets will be an indicator, but not a calibrated indicator, but will give me some type of input to my own DEFCON. But gold, silver, and platinum are the precious metal markets is what to watch. And even though they're not 100% accurate, that to me is the best pulse I have on whatever. And I will say, to people, get out and get beans and rice and bottled water. You can go to your local market and buy a gallon of spring water for 59 to 79 cents. Have some food, some storable foods ready to go. Top off the fuel tanks in your car at least. Keep your lawnmower gas cans full. I will be going out in the next couple days to top off my supply and be ready to hunker in, because I think that what we all feel right now in our souls is no different than an approaching hurricane that we can't see. And the good news about that is if you prepare, I would say 90% of what you invest in can be used anyway. So it's do your best to keep your family protected. Dan and I and others have talked about, while I have compassion for people, if the brown matter hits the blades of the fan, don't come to my house empty-handed and expect me to take you in. And I that hurts me. It pains me to say that. But if you come to my house and you've got a motorhome or a camper and you've got ammunition and a certain amount of food, I'll plug you into my water and I'll plug you into my electricity. But we have got to say that the game of musical chairs, we are in it. And unfortunately, when the music stops, there's going to be some of us that do not have a chair unless you do the best you can to prepare. And with that, Dan, I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but I just can't say that enough, especially with losing my on-air presence for a day or two. I'm going to say a huge prayer for all of us, and everyone knows, most all know how to get in touch with me. And Dan, we need to set up some kind of, some kind of rally or relay system through the phone system. I need to get you that ham radio down there, but anyone that knows anyone with a ham radio, that's probably going to be the last line of communications in the event that what's going to happen is, if my assumption of what's going to happen. So find someone in your community, even a ham radio club, and I would make friends with them very quickly. And with that, sir, I yield.
Right, because they're always the line of communication always goes to the ham radio operators in any disaster. That's been historic in America for probably a century. Well, almost a century, but as long as ham radio has been around, they've always been the volunteers that help establish communications in a disaster. But also, Jimmy's advice about prep is good, except I would add one thing. You want a good portable water filter to be able to take any kind of water you can come across and filter it and make it drinkable. Katadyn is a Swiss company that makes one of the best portable filters for doing that I've ever used. Berkey makes a portable water system. Missionaries use it, and they've been using Berkeys in the missionary field for, probably half a century, maybe longer. It's one of the best. I use a Berkey all the time. And the Katadyn, again, is a good backpack filter. It'll filter thousands and thousands of gallons of water. And the beautiful part of it is any water that you come across, it can filter it and make it drinkable. Any water. Doesn't matter what's in it. So those are things to think about, and everybody can do some things. And one of the things you can do is keep your gas tank filled up. Okay, don't wait till you're down to the light coming on. Keep your gas tank topped off. I top the automobiles here as soon as they get about anywhere from an eighth to a quarter tank down. I top them off again. Keep a full gas tank. Keep your auxiliary gas tanks for lawnmowers or any other gas-powered equipment. Keep a couple 5 or 10 gallons of extra gas in the shed. Can't hurt. Propane. Keep a couple extra tanks of propane. You can heat with it. You can cook food with it. I bought a nice online, relatively cheap, a nice platform that works off propane that you can put any size pot or skillet on it and heat it up. Now, you'd think that's ridiculous, but when there's no electricity, no gas, no water, no emergency services, there's nothing down at the grocery store, there's nothing down at Walmart's, it's all gone, you're going to wish you had thought about that. Even something as simple as matches. Good old-fashioned kitchen matches.
Kitchen matches, yeah.
Go down and buy 6, 7, 8 boxes of kitchen matches and put them in a waterproof bag.
Well, as much as I hate to do business with the devil, let me say this, Dan, because I appreciate the addition of the water filter. I, too, have the Berkey, and since I'm on a well, I have no city or county water here. I went out and spent a couple $100 on a on what's called the Guzzler handheld water pump. But also, and again, I don't mean to do business with the devil, but right now it's survival. You can get what's called a Smoky Joe barbecue little grill for $20 on Amazon, and I absolutely encourage, especially around holidays. Now, we don't really have that luxury right now, but Lowe's and Home Depot typically have a buy one, get one free bag of Kingsford charcoal, which you and I both know charcoal is ridiculously overpriced. But charcoal, and if you do have, you know, I'm blessed, again, with land, so I have a lot of oak and ways to cook food and heat food, but therein lies another danger in that if the looters or the ones that are desperate smell fire or food cooking, that can be a problem. But I wanted to add charcoal, you know, and again, if you have a propane gas grill, propane's cheap. What's it cost, Dan? Because I have a propane tank, but what, 15, 20 bucks? To get, okay. Yeah.
Actually, less than that. Actually, it's less than that. You can go to Costco, BJ's, what's the other, Sam's, places like that, or propane
stores.
And they
have the swap out. Don't they have the swap out program?
You can get a swap out, or you can fill a tank that you already own for, I can get it filled for around $16. So that's 20 pounds or whatever they measure it in. I can't remember now. I think it's gallons or pounds.
It's pounds. And you know what brings to life? You're right, and it is pounds because I don't have my, well, I do have portable tanks, but I have a 100-gallon tank fixed on my land. Hopefully, it doesn't get blown up. But what do they do before they fill your tank, Dan? Don't they make sure that the tank is within the date, and that the tank is safe, and what the regulator, the pressure valve is okay? And I just thought of that when you said that. And I don't mean to bring up old topics, but it is pounds. If you go to the local fill station, you'll see they'll put your canister on a scale, and they'll make sure that the tank appears no rust, no, you know, this, that, or the other, and that the valve system in it is correct before they'll even fill it. And, of course, if it's not in compliance, they're very happy to overcharge you to put it in compliance or sell you a new tank. But if you notice, they'll put it on a scale. They'll hook in their large tank and fill it until the scale says you have just purchased X amount of pounds of liquid propane.
Right. 20 pounds, right. 20-pound bottle will do a lot of cooking if you do it right. Don't waste it. So, again, there's simple things you can do. They're not that expensive. Most people have already maxed out their credit cards, so a lot of people are hurting because they didn't heed the warnings that have been given out for Those of us that have been on the wall preaching have been doing it for at least two decades, some of us for three, and many people laughed. Okay, so my preparation started in the 1980s. So now I'm not going to run around like a crazy man, and neither is Jimmy, because he heeded the Holy Spirit, and when it said get ready, you get ready. So again, my heart goes out to those latecomers, but you can still do something. As Jimmy said, if you come to my door, I'm going to tell you the same thing a military commando told me and a group of patriots way back in the 90s. If you come to my door and you have not made any preparations, I'm going to give you a butter knife. That's all you're going to get is a butter knife. And I'm going to tell you to go out and get it from somebody else. In other words, some bad actor, you're going to have to try to take them down with a butter knife, because that's the best I'm going to help you with. All right, if you are that lazy, you're that uninformed, or you have that much of a lack of discernment, then why would I give my family's food to you to keep you alive? You're part of the people our Father in Heaven's trying to get rid of. You're too disconnected. You're too lazy. You're too into the system. Okay, you're an idol worshiper. And last time I checked, an idolater is a capital crime. So why would I spend my money, my time, my energy, and my family's provisions to keep you alive when Father's trying to eliminate you? Okay? I would actually be doing harm by giving you any of my stores. So anybody that has that opinion that they can just ride this thing out, go with the flow, and when things go south, come up to somebody like Jimmy's house and say, hey, brother, would you spare me a meal? No. Sorry. Sorry, can't do it. You're not meant to survive. Father said, when they said, why do you preach in parables? He said, because there are those here that if they heard, they might repent and be saved, and they're condemned already. Even Christ himself said that. And yet your preachers today, God loves everybody. Just bring me all the children and all the people in shoe leather, because I just love everybody. And yet Christ didn't say that. It'd be amazing to have a preacher actually preach what's in the Bible versus what the headquarters down at the Methodist or Baptist church is telling them, which is just feel-good theology. Everybody's supposed to be saved. That's why they want to send evangelists out there to all the corners of the earth and try to evangelize them when Christ said you go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This message is for the lost sheep. It's not for everybody. You can't redeem what they didn't have before. You can only redeem what's been lost. It's the children of Israel, the white race, the Adamic race that was lost. That's why he's called our Redeemer. It wasn't the other people. There were no Chinamen in Palestine. There were no Aborigines from Australia in Palestine or any other places that the Israelites went. You got to wake up, people. Again, if the truth doesn't matter, you're not going to make it. I'm sorry, but you're not. And personally, I'm not going to miss you, okay? I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to miss you. I'm at that point in my life when Father takes out 80% of this world because of their complete idiocy and laziness and despicable behavior, I'm not going to worry or be concerned or be remorseful. I'm not. I don't pray for you anymore either. If you can't wake up by now, why would I pray for you? The scripture says don't pray for the lost. They've made their choice. They're part of the goats. You don't feed goats. You don't house the goats. You don't care for the goats. And you don't evangelize the goats. We're past
that. You know, Dan, there was a song, and I forget the artist, but sheep go to heaven, goats go to hell. And that's an old song from, I think, back in the 70s, and I forget the artist, but it's just amazing, even in some of the lyrics from, I used to be a huge audiophile. I still enjoy music, but I don't have the time anymore. And frankly, to catch up, you know, I've got even friends from business they were business associates back in the day, and we did so much together doing projects around the country that we would become friends. And most of that group, over the course of my time since 2009 being on the air, they think I am absolutely batshit crazy for two reasons. One is I don't monetize any of my efforts. And two is that they think that I'm spreading fear and you know, are looking for my agenda, which means they are closed to any biblical teachings, or they would see it. And, Dan, those are the people I can think of two right away. They know where I am, and they're going to be the ones that say, holy shit, excuse me on Sunday, and ladies and family, excuse me. But that's going to be their thing, and I expect them, and it's going to be hard, Dan, but I absolutely no way. And I'm thinking about I've got a sign printed. I haven't posted it on my front door, but it is going to say something like this. I tried to tell you. I tried to warn you. I tried to teach you. I tried to help you prepare, and it's too late. Do not even knock or ring my doorbell. Something to that effect.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And you made a good point. I know we're running out of time here, but you made a good point, too. We got to use some common sense. Now, look, and we're talking worst-case scenario. I think there are good guys who are trying to mitigate the circumstances to where this next phase will not hamper life as we know it too much. But we have to prepare for worst-case scenarios. So in the worst-case scenario, it's all hell on earth, okay, especially if you live in any high-density population areas. It would behoove you to be able to sit tight in your shelter for at least a week and don't send any signals that you're prepared, as in going out and cooking a nice steak out on your barbecue while the hordes are running around eating mice and people in worst-case scenario. And then they smell your steak out on the grill. That would be kind of stupid. No, you want to be able to sit tight for a week or so, maybe even a couple of weeks, and eat your stored food, your pemmican, your MREs, your canned goods, whatever. You can go for quite a while without eating at all, but eat your packaged goods that don't require a fire or a signal to those around you that you have provisions, because then you will become a target. You want to be able to stay low, shut your lights off at night. Yeah, you were smart enough. You've got LED lanterns, and you've got the backup generator and all that, but you don't want to be advertising all that in the first couple weeks. You want to look like everybody else. You want to have the sad look on your face. You want to stay indoors and not commingle. You don't want to see anybody see any signs around your property that you're one of the people that's prepared. You don't want to do that. Now, within a couple of weeks, most of these villains will be dead. All right? And that's coming from the military guys I know. Within a few weeks, the worst of the people will be dead. And then it'll be okay to come out and cook your steak and have your rifle ready, because there may be a few stragglers you have to take out. But see what I'm saying? You just got to use some common sense. But we're down to the part where I'm going to ask, I'll start with Gary, if they have any final comments here, because we got to wrap this up. Gary, did you want to say anything more before we go?
Well, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Well, I just want to say I really enjoyed the show today and the guys you had on and Jimmy and what have you, and it sure makes me think a lot. And I hope,
well,
and I'm in California, so I won't be here with a lot of nets and fruits. So you guys got to be careful. You guys got to be careful, because there's a few of us over here. You know, some have moved out already, but some, you know, can't. We're here. So when you talk about California, you know, nuts and fruits and some guys that are trying.
Understood.
So anyway,
Gary,
I want to thank you guys for being there, and I'll listen to you next week.
All right, Gary. All right, Gary. You and Elka, Yahweh bless you.
Okay.
All right, Henry. Any okay. closing comments?
Yeah, first of all, I didn't even know Gary was still with us. And, Gary's in California. I feel for him. I'm in the Northeast, but I know how bad it is out there. The last thing I'll say is I'm going to close with, I think, one of your favorite Bible verses, Dan, Obadiah 15. That's for all the people who are fearful that the worst may occur. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head.
Amen. Amen. That's exactly
Amen.
Right. We're living it. We're living it. So for the believer, hallelujah. We've made it through to this point. We're still here. We're still kicking. We're going to live to see the very things that the prophets said that all of us would give a right arm to be part of. All of our founding fathers, all of our ancestors for thousands of years looked for the day for the second coming and the restoration of this earth. And we're in it. We're in the middle of it. As my one buddy from Tennessee said, you have a front row seat for the end of the age. You're in it. Anything else, Henry?
No, that's it, Dan. Once
all right,
again, I just want to thank everybody else, and we're all in this together, buddy.
Absolutely. Amen. We're part of the ark, so Yahweh bless, Henry. You take care and stay safe.
I will.
All right, now, last but not least, Jimmy, any closing comments, buddy?
I love being last because I know I'm not least. Dan, once again, thank you for your gift of time. Thank the folks in the listening range of our voices for sending your prayers of strength up for us all. We are here. We're not leaving. I'm not giving up. And I just send fierce, intense prayers up that those that are on the fence heed our message and do something to prepare yourselves. Dan, thank you so much for your gift of time. You need something, I suggest you and I keep in close touch in the coming days. And anyone that does have my phone number or email, you're more than welcome to call me. I do have a short list of when the brown matter hits the fan of other ways that you can use me or my studio as a relay. But with that, Dan, thank you for your gift of time. Thank you for your show. And if Yahweh's not done with me yet, I know that. So I will look forward to joining you on your Wednesday conference call, sir. God bless you. Yahweh bless all. And thanks again, Dan.
Yeah, thank you, Jimmy. Yahweh bless you too, buddy. All right, ladies and gentlemen, as always, we're going to close it with a prayer to our Father. I think today especially, because Jimmy feels it, Henry feels it, Gary, the rest of the brethren, I field phone calls practically all day long, every single day. It's part of my ministry. It's what I do. Trying to lift up the Israelites that are out there as scattered salt. They feel completely alone. We're not alone. We're just like in Kings, talking to the prophet that thought he was alone, hiding in the cave, and he said, I've got 7,000 who have not bent a knee to Baal, who haven't given in and have not gone the way of the Satanists. So the point of that story, of course, is though we feel alone in that cave and that they're killing all of the saints, and Father says, get out there and do the job I told you to do. I've got 7,000 just like you, 7,000 warriors, 7,000 watchmen on the wall. 7,000, of course, is just symbolic, meaning a large number, okay, that you don't fret. Fear is what the enemy wants us to have, so put the fear aside, focus on what Father wants you to do on a daily basis, and let's just do it. I look at it as we are the victors already. The enemy is doing what he's doing right now out of fear, folks. The enemy is in fear. He's in fear of what we might do. Can you imagine what we could do when we decide to get off our butts and actually do it? They're in fear of what we potentially could do to them. So fear is not part of our camp. Fear belongs with them. Their time is short. Hallelujah. Our King of Kings will be coming back soon, and we are part of his army. Those of us that are still here are part of his righteous army, as Ezekiel and Obadiah told us. We will witness that Yahweh is going to turn all of this done by the wicked right around and put it right back on their heads. And we will witness it, as Psalm 91 says. We'll see thousands at one side and 10,000 at the other, and it will not harm the true believer, the one that walks with Yahweh. Dear Heavenly Father, you've given us many promises, and you've told us for a long time that we are your peculiar people. We've let you down, Father. We admit that. We accept the fact that we are frail, we are imperfect, and we've made a lot of mistakes. All of us have bad mistakes in our lives. And we are blessed that you will throw those into the sea of forgetfulness when we call upon the blood of our Messiah to be poured over us. We call on the precious blood of Yeshua that took upon himself death and torture, because that's what we deserve. And he put it upon himself instead. And he said, if you call upon me and believe in me, you have eternal life. We have that. No matter what happens to us in the here and now, that is our reward, that is our destiny, to spend eternity with the King of Kings, our Creator. And it's his plan that's playing out here, folks, not the enemy. Don't give him that much credit. These people really are stupid. They're evil and stupid. Stay the course. And Father, give us strength right now, especially now. Give us strength. Help us to overcome any of the poisons and the darts the enemy throws at us through different things, whether it's GMO food or vaccines or whatever vehicle they use. Give us the wisdom to see it and to avoid it. And for those that have succumbed to it, help them cleanse it out of their bodies. Give us clear discernment in this age of deception and misinformation. And help us to focus on the things that matter, you and our brethren. We are a family, and we will come through this as a family. And those that don't want to behave like a family member, you're out. I'm sorry, but you're out. You have missed the message. You have missed the test that we're here on this earth for. And we're looking forward to the time when you restore all things, and we will walk as free men and women upon the earth, not encumbered with all these man-made regulations and rules and needing permits for this and fees for that. Those are man-made institutions. They enslave. They make you a captive to the, quote, beast system. And we'll stand tall as brothers and sisters. We are your priests and kings and warriors for the latter days. And again, we just ask, Father, that you walk with us and let us hold tight to your hand. And know that you will carry us through this perilous time. We'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, because you're only the one that deserves that distinction. So again, forgive us our sins. Be with us and guide us in all that we do and say for thy kingdom and for this family of our people and for the other people that come to know you and want the truth, as we bless them with the truth of your word, because it will bless all those who heed it. We ask all this in the name of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. Hallelujah.